Thank you, Bertrand. All right. It is the first Monday of 2017, and I am honored to be sitting here with Andrea Darlis.
I am honored to be sitting here with you. This is awesome. I said I feel like the Viola Davis to your Meryl Streep. Wasn't that great, though, last night? So sweet.
I do want to talk about that, the whole Meryl Streep thing. I want to talk about Jimmy Fallon pulling a Mariah Carey because technical difficulties. But first and foremost, I want to talk to Steve Bertrand. Because I heard this kid named Noah Bertrand throughout the newscast this weekend.
Yeah.
He was quoted, he was talking, and he was in line to get tickets to President Barack Obama's last speech here in Chicago. And did you make him do it?
No, I really didn't think I didn't even suggest it. He came home one night and said he was going to do it with his friends. And I didn't have enough faith in him. They were out on Friday night and got up at 4 o'clock on Saturday morning and went downtown, I think at like 5 o'clock.
And I don't know if he's busy right now. I don't know if we should talk to him. Maybe you can answer for him. But now he's a freshman in college.
Yes.
I just want to know why he wants to go.
He better be working right now. But
nice.
You know what I mean, Steve? I would have expected, you know, is he getting tickets for you? I know you were only allowed one. I just would like to know why he wants to go. I think that's super cool.
Well, he told me, and he was on with Kathy and Judy on Saturday. He said, you know, that this is a once in a lifetime experience, and he's not that political by any means. So I was surprised they were interested in doing it, but you know, good for him and his buddies. You know, it's a couple 19-year-olds. And
isn't that
they
great?
Just figured it was a big event, and why not take advantage of it?
And they got the tickets, obviously, right, Steve?
They did. They waited in line a long time and were told there were none, and then they got into another line or something. I don't know exactly how it worked, but yeah, they did get tickets.
Good for them.
I hate waiting in lines more than anything in the whole world.
And it was 12 degrees.
Yeah, they were inside for a lot of it. But, you know, really, his logic is good. There are so many great things that happen around us, and I've become this where it's like, I don't want to be bothered. You know, we don't take advantage of these things. And, you know, this is the sort of thing that can stick with you the rest of your life.
Are you a little jelly that you didn't get a ticket?
I could always get a press pass.
Oh, look at Mr. Big Shot there.
I don't know, Steve.
Not now. But
you could have.
I got one. I'll sell it to you for $5,000.
Well, that's the thing now is other friends on social media are all about, you know, you should sell this. Yeah. And
it says right on it, not for resale.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm surprised they didn't have to show IDs or anything to get the ticket. They just handed them to them, so they wouldn't know if it was sold or not.
Boy, I'm surprised, too.
Well, what are they going to do? Sign something that says you're not going to sell it? What do you mean?
Well, I mean, they were very strict in saying that you could only get one for yourself, and, you know, there's security issues. I really thought they would have to, present an ID and be registered. But, you know, obviously they'll go through all kinds of security tomorrow anyway.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. That's going to be high-tech security, man.
Oh, big time. You know what's cool, though? I mean, it's the president of the United States. Put all your partisanship aside. I think it's so cool that Noah and his friends want to go. It's a chance to see the sitting president of the United States in your hometown say goodbye and give a speech. I mean, that's very cool.
Someone wants to know, how can they stop me from selling my ticket? They can't, but here's the thing. Ann Johnsos, who used to work here on the Steve Bertrand show, producing that show.
The Cochran show, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. What did I say?
The Bertrand show.
Oh, well, she did the business lunch for a while, yeah.
Oh, did she?
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. She got Hamilton tickets, and I remember her posting on Facebook, oh, my God, look at us. We're going to Hamilton. She and her two daughters. And then there was a picture taken afterwards when she found out the tickets she bought on Craigslist were fake.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the whole ticket thing, buying them on Craigslist or through someone else, I wouldn't trust that at all.
I wouldn't either.
Personally, I wouldn't even trust a couch I got on Craigslist because how do I know their cat didn't pee on it?
Absolutely. But yeah, but people who buy tickets, who scalp even, you know, you buy a ticket from someone, even though
you're right
in front of the ballpark or the United Center, I wouldn't do it either.
Yeah. I wouldn't either. But, Steve, I just wanted to say, you know, you raised one of your kids well.
They're both great.
Emma is, too. But I thought that was cool. I was listening to WGN, and they had, you know, here's Noah Bertrand, and then it was David Jennings who said, if you're recognizing the name, there is a connection.
I didn't hear that later in the day. Yeah.
Yeah. But I thought that was really cool. A 19-year-old kid who just, this is a big event, and I kind of wish my lazy kids would have gotten their butts out of bed and come down and seen this.
Yeah, it was cold.
Him. I'm very happy for him and his friends.
And you had no influence at all?
Like, none.
Noah, you should totally see this.
Just the opposite. I'm like, you're not going to do that, are you?
See, but reverse psychology works in parenting, doesn't it?
I guess so. Didn't mean it, but...
All right, and a lot of people have been posting some things on the Bill F. and Wendy Snyder Facebook page saying it's kind of weird that Bill has taken a week off just at the start of the year. He did. What's so weird about it?
He did. Actually, and it's off next week, too.
That's weird.
I know.
He's going to work on his beard.
He is working on his McDreamy beard.
That's because Enid's doing play-by-play the other 51 weeks of the year.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, well, Dave works hard, Bill. I don't know.
Dave, not so much. Well, puts on a good front.
Just for people curious, Bill will return tomorrow, hopefully. Hopefully he didn't get a job somewhere else, you know, as a, you know, toy clerk at Toys R Us.
Right.
I don't know.
Get stuck in a rainstorm.
Never know. Mm-hmm. Meantime, though, Andrea Darla's sitting in with me, Wendy Snyder, at 720 WGN.
Brett Baer talks about his new book, 3 Days in January, Dwight Eisenhower's Final Mission.
Plus, I got a pair of tickets for you to go see the Blackhawks against the Red Wings on Tuesday the 10th. Coming your way at 4:45.
Free Blackhawks tickets on the Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis this afternoon on 720 WGN.
Goods Furniture is an escape. A very leisurely, relaxing kind of day. You can browse furniture wherever you go in the 250,000 square foot store and have fun while doing it. Whether you're buying your first home, expanding your family, or just want something new, Goods has something for everyone. And the furniture at Goods is on sale every day, so you can always be sure you're getting the best value. No hype, no haggling, just honest-to-goodness value day in and day out. Goods Furniture in Kewaunee, Illinois.
Polar Heating knows if your house could talk.
Winter's here. You turn up my heat and dry out my air. I become shocking. My floors crack. I dry out your skin. I make you sick.
Your home suffering from winter dry air? Get an April Air high-capacity humidifier installed. Now with Wi-Fi control.
Polar Heating and Air Conditioning, serving Chicagoland. For the best equipment, prices, and service with over 60 years' experience, visit polarheatingandair.com.
Dr. Timothy Goodwin here. If you want a flatter belly and haven't tried my new belly flattening breakthrough, Somabiotics, yet, then I'm looking for you. Over 300,000 people are already loving their belly flattening results with Somabiotics, but I want everyone to be able to try it. That's why I'm giving away free trials right now to everyone who calls in the next 10 minutes. As a doctor, I know many big bellies are actually just bloated bellies. That's why I helped create Somabiotics, to flatten bloated bellies fast by cleansing pounds of rotting food and toxic sludge from your body. Made right here in the U.S. with natural ingredients. If your belly flattening results are too dramatic, reduce use to every other day.
For your free trial, call in the next 10 minutes for details. 1-800-600-2270. Hurry, join the hundreds of thousands flattening their bellies while Dr. Goodwin is still giving trials away for free. 1-800-600-2270. Limit one per household. 1-800-600-2270. 1-800-600-2270.
They've faced each other more than any two NHL teams. Tuesday, the rivalry renews. Blackhawks, Red Wings. Tuesday at 7 on WGN TV. All right, the Red Wings.
Whatever.
Call them the Red Wings.
All right, it's Wendy Snyder here along with Andrea Darla. She is keeping the seat warm until Bill F. returns tomorrow. Pete McMurray, hey, buddy, will be in this afternoon.
Hey, buddy will be here.
He will be here. Want to talk about the Golden Globe Awards. We'll do that later on this morning. And coming up after the 10:30 news, just a lovely little story. We had this artist on before, and his name is Matthew Hoffman. He just, back in 2003, he wanted to kind of spread some love and a positive message to everybody. So he started putting together billboards and signage that just said, "You are beautiful."
Yeah, there's one, I think, off of Lakeshore and 39th Street. It's silver, and in black letters says, "You are beautiful." It's so uplifting.
So did you think of anything when you saw it? Did you go, "Wow, that's nice"?
Immediately. I thought that's so cool. And then I thought, is it an ad? Is it, you know,
yeah, I wondered
promoting
that too.
Something?
Just promoting yourself.
I love it.
And then self-love.
And they kept it up, and I think it's still there. And every time I drive past it, I think, oh, that's so nice. It's just a cool feeling.
It is pretty nice because you know what? We are all beautiful. And we need to, you know, everybody's getting bullied these days. And it's so nice to have self-love. Although I don't really, I annoy myself, quite honestly.
Why? You,
I just
you
do.
You should have self-love.
Well, it's just, I don't, I think that's, it's kind of a weird feeling if you're like, yeah, I'm the stuff, you know, I love me. I don't know. We all have room for improvement.
I am beautiful.
Oh, that's stupid. You are beautiful.
No, you are. No, you. No, you.
Well, it's a
it's
nice,
a cool thing.
It is a nice little campaign. And if anything, it just throws some positivity in your life. Like you look at it and you're like, you are beautiful. All right. Maybe today I'm cool with myself, you
and
know?
And it's neat where they're popping up too, Wendy. Along Lakeshore Drive or, you know, you're just driving through a neighborhood in the city, Logan Square, and there it is.
All right. Well, we're going to talk to Matthew Hoffman. He has put together kind of an inspirational thing. It's a little daily calendar. I don't want to read today's. I'm going to save it till he comes on. So he'll be after the news at 10:30. I did watch the Carrie Fisher, Debbie Reynolds, Bright Lights. It's called. It's the HBO documentary. I can't believe Jimmy Mack has not watched it yet. I think he's scared to watch it.
Is he? See, I have it on, I DVR'd it, and I watched the first 10 minutes, and you know how they were playing it like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock? I DVR'd it later, and I started watching a little bit, and I thought, you know what? I want to watch the whole thing in one sitting. So I stopped about 10 minutes in.
It's pretty great.
It is great, what I saw.
It just shows the relationship of a mother and a daughter, and I lost my mom a month after I got married to Jimmy Mack in 97. And, you know, it's so funny because I fought with my mom every day. I really did. And somebody had said to me, are you close with your mom? And Jim was in the vicinity. And I said, I don't know if I'm that close with her. And he goes, are you kidding me? You talk to her like 3-4 times a day, every day. I'm like, yeah, but we fight all the time. Yeah, but you're communicating. And it's true. And you watch Debbie Reynolds and her daughter, Carrie Fisher. They had a falling out and didn't talk for many, many years. Carrie, really, just after watching this, I don't love her as Princess Leia because I'm not a huge Star Wars fan. I love her for what she is. And she is just marching to the beat of her own drum. She is out there. And she's happy with it. And Debbie Reynolds accepts her for being kind of eccentric, I guess we could say.
Absolutely. I thought Carrie Fisher, for all her demons, bipolar and her drugs, all her issues, she's so relatable. I mean, I've always
That's what
felt
I like about
she's
her.
She's funny. She could be your best friend. You could go have lunch with her. She just was, you could relate to her. She was like the every person. She didn't seem like a lot of people in Hollywood, Angelina Jolie, they're like kind of almost untouchable, but Carrie Fisher seems like she would stop and talk with you and say, yeah, let's grab a hamburger. Let's grab lunch.
It's pretty cute because she was not into doing like Comic Cons and things like that and Star Wars celebrations. And then her assistant kind of talked her into doing it. And there's some footage of her autographing things for people. And I mean, she's there for like probably 10 hours. People coming up. Yes, she charges for autographs. Big deal. Mm-hmm. But she spends time with people. There was a photo shoot that you could purchase. And just the picture she took with these fans. Honestly, it seemed like she really cared.
Yeah, and the dynamic between the two of them, I can't wait to see that in the HBO special. Because I have the same relationship with my mom that you did with yours. We talk several times a day. She'll call me back and say, oh, forgot what I was going to tell you. I'll call you right back. And then it's something little, like the neighbor has a new boyfriend or something. But it's true. But we go back and forth, too. We bicker, and, you know, we're Greek. We're loud.
We're Italian.
And,
right, same thing.
And friends of mine will go, oh, my gosh, you and your mom, you'll fight. And then 5 minutes later, call and, you know, say where we're going to meet for dinner.
Because it's not really a fight.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, but I love that dynamic between the two of them.
You will love to see this. And, you know, even if you're not a huge Carrie Fisher or Debbie Reynolds fan, just to watch a mother and daughter, I highly recommend watching it on HBO, the documentary called Bright Lights. It's really fantastic.
I can't wait to see it.
Really, really good. Also, again, as I mentioned, we are going to talk to artist Matthew Hoffman at 10:30. And then I really would like to talk about the Golden Globes. I didn't watch all of it. because there's this crazy thing now called the internet, so you don't have to commit. I was watching a little of the Blackhawks game last night. It was a Sloppy Joe night. Mm-hmm. It was cold, wasn't it? It was a perfect night to make Sloppy Joes. Mm-hmm. And then you can catch up via the internet, Fallon's monologue. I love Jimmy Fallon.
I do, too. I want to ask you what you thought of his opening when the teleprompter went out. I think we were both kind of saying we empathized a little bit.
Oh, my God. That's got to be the worst thing in the world.
Right. And he does it every night. He's great. He's funny. But it's got to be strange. You know, you're prepping for weeks and weeks and weeks for the Golden Globes, and you get up there, and it just goes blank.
And get up there. This is the who's who of what's what in the audience, and they're drinking.
Mm-hmm.
So you could be heckled.
Yeah, right.
I do like that whole thing where the Golden Globes, this is where they have cocktails and they have dinner. It does look like a bunch of, it looks like a very, very, very fancy wedding, but it doesn't look very comfortable to me.
No, not at all. And I always feel bad for the people in the back who win, and they have to kind of push their way through all the chairs and then make their way up, and then they're just playing endless music. And then they get up there and they get 30 seconds.
I know. Although they do have to edit it, I guess. But sometimes we'll talk about Meryl Streep too, because I have some questions for people that are Trump fans.
Okay. Yeah,
because I'd like to hear their opinion on things. And we are here for you. It's Andrea Darlis. It's Wendy Snyder. 312-981-7200 is the number to call or text us. This is the very first Monday of 2017. I am enthusiastic for some reason. I think it's because I'm working with you. I don't know.
Me too. And it's because of your new calendar.
Oh, it's the second one? Well, it's my first one.
It's Wendy's first one, though.
Because the first one,
on the second, so.
Most people, that was the national holiday, so most people didn't work. Why didn't you, when I texted you that this morning, why didn't you correct me then?
I thought you meant like it was our first Monday of 2017.
Well, that's what I did mean.
Technically the show, so when you're inducted into the Radio Broadcasting Hall of
really?
Fame.
Really, when will that be?
I can say I did her first show with her in 2017, back then, back in the day.
Thank you for that, Andrea. And if you're wondering where Bill is, he will be back tomorrow, hopefully.
So he will be back.
That's what they say.
Allegedly.
We'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. People will just have to tune in tomorrow. Excellent. We got a built-in audience for tomorrow then. All right, it's 720 WGN.
You are so beautiful. To me.
Words to live by. You are beautiful, Andrea.
So awesome.
Where's so are you?
Oh, so are you, Wendy.
God, I was fishing for a compliment and didn't get it there.
You are.
It's Wendy Snyder here. Andrea Darlis is sitting in for Bill Left today. Bill returns tomorrow. And we have a Chicago-based artist and designer, Matthew Hoffman, in the studio. And welcome back. You were here before.
Yeah, I was here last year. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You were here before because we had read about these billboards and signage that was all over saying, you are beautiful. And we wanted to meet the man behind that. And first of all, how did this start?
Well, so I moved to Chicago in 2002. It was first time in the big city, first time on my own. So the city was overwhelming and exciting at the same time. And I just wanted to put out a really nice message, to blend in with all the sort of the negativity that you can encounter on a daily basis. So I started with 100 stickers and just started putting them up.
Just putting them up anywhere, like maybe on a bus stand. I mean, on a pole where you see all the bands that are coming to town.
Yeah.
You just started putting them up like that.
Yeah, anywhere that it would kind of be unexpected to maybe break in your daily life. You're just kind of like pushing through your day, and then all of a sudden it just, you know, pops out at you.
And you see it, and you're like, wow, you know what? Maybe I am kind of beautiful. Because all this negativity that's out there, especially nowadays, this has been going on since how long? Where you started with the stickers, and now there are billboards and bus boards and artwork. How long has this been going on?
So 2002, so we're getting up to about 15 years
soon. That's so cool. Yeah. I told Wendy that the first one I saw was when I was biking near 39th and Lakeshore Drive, mm-hmm. and it's a big sign, too. And I thought, wait, is it an advertisement? Is it a plug for something? It's just so cool.
But you remembered it.
I remembered it, and it's still. I think it's still there.
Yep.
Because when I go by, how did you go from stickers to billboard to getting those built and put up?
Yeah, so, you know, printed some stickers, then printed more and more stickers, started with little installations, and then they just kind of grew bigger and bigger and bigger. So that piece on Lakeshore Drive, we did that for a big show at the Cultural Center. It was all about sort of street art and stuff. And then that is put up through the Chicago Parks District.
I can't believe you've been doing this for so long, and we just had you on last year to talk about it, because I didn't see him. I don't get out much. I really don't. I drive to work. I go home. You don't have any in the suburbs, do you?
We have one in Lincolnwood.
Oh, there you go. North side.
Yeah, a little far north for me.
Yeah.
So we wanted to have you back because in addition to the signage and the stickers that are out there, you have put together a little daily inspiration. And we had it last year, and each day of the week, Kevin had it on his desk, and he would read the day's inspiration. And we'd go, God, that's really nice. Bill would go, what? What are you talking about? He wouldn't pay attention. But I'm like, that's pretty cool. So then we thought we would have you on the start of the new year. There's been obviously a negative presidential campaign that went on recently, and it's still going on. So it's nice to spread some positivity. So how can people get a hold of this little daily inspiration that you've put together?
Yeah, so I call it Today, and it's you can get it on the site, youarebeautiful.com with a dash in between, so you-r-beautiful.com. And the idea is to start your way with something that's a little aspirational, maybe a little funny. You know, Monday, January 2nd said, stand outside. And then the next day said, get it. And then the Wednesday, January 4th said, be outstanding.
Oh, that's cool.
It's just a little something to get you going. I want to reveal what today's is, Monday, January 9th. Be kind.
Aww. Yeah.
That's just so cool. Little, simple, inspirational phrases. Although I have to tell you, Kevin cheats and he looks ahead. Is there something, is there like Sunday, November 5th, don't stare? Which, I'm sorry, but that one's pretty great because you're going to see somebody who's different than you. Don't stare. Realize we're all different.
Completely agree.
But is it bad that we're, you know, looking ahead?
Some people look forward to their birthdays and things. What I do every year is I write it all in one day and then draw it all the next. And kind of just do it really fast like that so that I can kind of enjoy it throughout the year.
Where's the craziest place that you've heard people putting stickers? Keep it clean. I mean, obviously. No.
There's one in our bathroom.
Yeah, there is.
When you were here a year ago, somebody took one of your stickers and put it on the towel dispenser in the bathroom,
and I
love it.
I can't comment on that. Okay. I can't say that I did that or not.
I'm not saying you did it.
But is it just amazing to you that they are popping up in bar bathrooms or, you know, radio station bathrooms or, you know, on, you know, anywhere you go, bus shelters?
Yeah, probably the most interesting one was in Antarctica. A couple were traveling sort of all the different areas and put it on a stuffed penguin and then put that penguin in a field of real penguins and took a really great photo, which was awesome. And then the craziest one that I've personally come across, I was in Minneapolis and I was walking along and I saw a street sign in a median between, you know, a 4-lane road. And I'm like, that's the perfect spot for a sticker. And I pulled it out and I unstuck it and I had it ready to go. And I walked up and there was already one there.
Oh,
how great
cool.
is that?
Yeah.
Are you amazed at how this has taken off?
It's wild. Yeah, it's definitely become a community led project and sort of, you know, almost like ambassadors, you know, kind of have just taken it and run with it. We've just printed our 3.5 millionth sticker.
Look at that.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Have you been, I guess, courted by sponsors saying, hey, we want to take this on and make this our logo?
Yeah, from time to time. Yeah. And we try to keep it a message for the people.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a new project you're working on or you're just going to roll with this?
Well, so always this project is like the main thing that's being spearheaded and love the message and we'll continue to do it. We've got it in a bunch of neighborhoods in Chicago and we hope to go beyond Chicago. There are other phrases too, like I did a giant one down in Pullman that's cursive that says go for it.
Love it.
Yeah, so it's kind of, you know.
Is that by the brewery? I think I've seen that. Where you get off and you're going to, I think it's Argus Brewery, the old buildings with the red brick.
Yeah.
And you get off and then there's kind of a frontage road. I think I've seen it.
It's in a roundabout.
Yeah. How cool.
So, I mean, you have to be profiting from some of this, but it all started as just a message where you moved here and weren't 100% comfortable, and so you just wanted to show everybody, hey, there's a new challenge every day, but remember, you're beautiful.
Yeah, so it was a side project, a passion project for about 10 years, and then started doing it full-time, and now we have a full-time team, and we're being able to sort of live our dreams and make art full-time.
I love it. How many languages is this printed in?
100.
Oh, my God.
This is amazing to me. Just something that started as a little sticker. Look at it now, and how many years later?
Yeah, 14 years, yeah.
Good God.
Are there plans to do more billboards, too, kind of throughout the city?
Absolutely, yeah. And so, like, this last year we worked with Roscoe Village and Andersonville and other neighborhoods. We just did one down in Beverly. And my favorite part is that it goes, so, you know, we're up in Lincolnwood and Rogers Park all the way down to, like, Beverly and Pullman and, you know, everywhere in between. We're just looking to put the message out there for just people to come across.
You are beautiful. Do you smile every time you go by a sticker and or a sign and just kind of go, yep, that's mine?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah.
All right, my
Wendy's
birthday.
Looking ahead. I am because
well, I'm sorry. My birthday's February 12th, and this is perfect. Tell your story.
Oh,
that's what mine will be.
Oh, that is good.
So
that's
tune
good.
In on February 12th. Andrea, when's your birthday?
Mine's August 11.
All right, hang on.
Tell your story. That's pretty powerful.
I love these. I'm telling you, this is so inspirational. And I know we've already started in the year, but we're only 9 days into it. So if you love someone, get this online. Where's your website while I'm looking up August what?
11.
Okay. Where can people get these? Because I know, like I said, we're 9 days into the new year. But it's a great little gift for someone you care about. How do we order these?
Yeah, absolutely. You can order them online at you-are-beautiful.com.
There's all kinds of other stuff, too, here. Cursive pieces for your wall. Oh, there's mirrors. So you can sit right. How cool is that? You look in the mirror and it says you are beautiful.
Yeah, but what if you're having a bad hair day? I don't like that idea.
It doesn't matter.
I guess. All right, Friday, August 11th. Your birthday's on a Friday,
oh,
so
good.
That's good.
Yes.
School someone.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty great.
Yeah. In a good way. Not like I'm going to school you.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I don't see you doing that. No. Kevin, when is your birthday again? I should know this.
March 9th.
March 9th.
Kevin's already probably looked ahead. Did you look
you
ahead
did,
your
you
birthday?
Did.
I did, but I forgot what it was.
See, so that's the good thing. If you do cheat like Kevin does and look ahead, you'll forget what it is.
Oh, come on. Everybody does that.
Thursday, March 9th.
Yep.
Call a friend.
I'll probably do that. I'll take that advice. Yeah.
And Matthew Hoffman, when is your birthday?
My birthday is July 25th, and it says aspire for more, and then the next day says perspire daily.
Ah, see? You'll have worked up a sweat on your birthday,
exactly,
that's why.
Yeah.
It's so nice to see you again. Matthew Hoffman, Chicago-based artist and designer. Your public works have been exhibited internationally. You've been featured New York Times Magazine. You've been featured all over the place and have been forever. You are beautiful. Over 3 million stickers in 100 languages since 2002. And again, give us a website if people want to order this today, which is a daily inspiration.
Yep, you-r-beautiful.com.
Thank you so much.
This is dangerous, too, because now I want everything on here. There's wall signs. These look like earrings.
This is your perfect customer, you know that.
Oh, I'm the worst. Yeah, this is great. He's going to be like, stop buying everything off the website.
All being shipped to Andrea Darlis.
Yeah.
All right, well, Matthew Hoffman, great job. Happy New Year, and thanks for spreading the love and the positivity, because we all need it.
Thank you so much.
It is Wendy Snyder here along with Andrea Darlis, and at 720 WGN. All right. Welcome to, I guess, the first full week of 2017. Is it safe to say that?
Absolutely.
Andrea Darlis in what, Kevin?
It's not safe to say that either, because Sunday the 1st, that was a whole... no, sorry.
What happened to You Are Beautiful?
You guys are beautiful.
You are stupid. That's what he says to me every day.
You guys forget how to read a calendar? I don't understand.
Yeah, today, be kind.
Yeah, Bertrand.
I am being kind, trust me.
It is, which is weird because usually he's the one who isn't. All right, can we talk Golden Globes for a little bit? Steve, did you watch it?
Oh, I just think Meryl Streep is highly overrated.
Oh, no.
All right, we'll talk about that. First and foremost, I want to talk about Jimmy Fallon. I am a huge fan of his. I know maybe he's not the best interviewer in the world, but I like his goofiness.
I'm the same way. I love Fallon. I know people like Kimmel. And
I like Kimmel, too. They're very different.
I know people like others over Fallon, and I'm a big Fallon fan.
I like him very much, and he had a really tough job. Who hosted it last year? Do you remember?
Was
the Golden
it Kimmel,
Globes?
I know Ricky Gervais was year before, I think. Let me check and see who hosted it last
All right,
year.
While you're checking, it's a tough gig. I mean, you have all these celebrities sitting in front of you. They're drinking. They're there kind of for a good time. It's, I mean, do the Golden Globes, they certainly don't mean as much as the Oscars, do they?
God, no.
But
no,
I mean, it's still kind of like
it's fun to watch and everything, but
and it's probably fun for celebrities. I feel like they all show up though. Very rarely do you see, you know, accepting this award for so and so. Is that because they can drink?
I think it probably is because they could drink. I do. I like the Globes because they're less, you know, the Oscars
less
are just,
formal.
Yeah. The Oscars are stuffier. And yeah. All right, face it. Aside from your Oscar pool, no one is really watching the Oscars for cinematography and, you know, all the
oh, I am. And
film
Gaffer.
Score. Gaffer. Best Boy.
What is that?
The Best Boy, I think, is the assistant to the Gaffer.
Really?
Yeah, I swear. I looked it up one year.
Wow. I miss a lot of that stuff. All right. Well, Jimmy Fallon had a pretty tough job because, you know, he seems to me like someone who's pretty starstruck.
Ricky Gervais, by the way.
Oh, it was last year.
Last year, yeah.
So a very different kind of delivery because Ricky's like biting. I do remember that being pretty funny. But Jimmy Fallon comes out there and kind of off to a rough start because evidently the monitor was not working.
Well, I think I may have grabbed the wrong clip here. This is post that. So let's see how this goes.
Okay, well, it wasn't working. He was just kind of hemming and hawing like I'm doing right now. And he said something like, Mariah Carey just called. Okay, we got this.
Same
Go.
Crew.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Thank you. I just got off the phone with Mariah Carey, and she thinks that Dick Clark Productions sabotaged my monologue. And it's, we have to talk, we have to discuss.
That was good. See, that was quick.
It was quick, but that was after the fact. He was hemming and hawing, and I know that, you know, he had writers and he worked on it too, but I imagine he's very nervous to begin with. So you have a bunch of things rolling through your head, and then all of a sudden you're left without a safety net. What do you do?
Right. And you're in front of a bunch of people who've been drinking champagne since 3 o'clock in the
yeah.
afternoon. You know, I did feel bad too. There was a part of me that thought, oh, dude, get it together. You know what? Improvise. This is what you do.
Right. And I'm kind of surprised he didn't improvise better, but it is nerve wracking and you're counting on it to happen.
Right. Especially after you've practiced and you've scripted it and you've, you know, been in rehearsals for weeks on end. Yeah.
Come on. You guys are giving him a total pass.
A little
You're
bit.
Not?
A little
well,
bit.
Well, I mean, I thought it was fine, but I'm not going to say it was hard and he was nervous. I mean, he's the multi-million dollar talk show host who can handle his teleprompter going out.
Yeah, you would think so.
Andrea knows I do half my newscasts without my computer in front of me.
Yeah, we can
yeah.
tell.
Right?
Yeah. No, it's true. No, you know what, though? You're right. You have to be prepared
you
for
do.
Anything. They always say, you know, if you're going to fire a piece of sound or if you're going to use something, anticipate it's not going to happen and you're going to have to ad lib.
Yeah, but he's in front of all these celebrities. I'm sorry. That's a tough crowd.
It kind of is, Steve, yeah. I mean, I'm kind of flip-flop. I'm getting wishy-washy at it, too. Because my first reaction was, oh, pull it together, man. You do this all the time.
Yeah.
And then think of stuff that we emcee. And again, it's not at this level at all. But, you know.
This is every celebrity in the world in front of you. I would be so nervous.
Yeah.
And then, if we can, we'll talk about Meryl Streep. I love her first and foremost. I think she's a great actress. She was singing at Debbie Reynolds and Carrie Fisher's memorial service. It was a private service. Just friends and family were there. And she was singing, so her voice was a little scruffy.
Mm-hmm.
And she had lovely things to say, but it took a political turn towards the end of the speech. And in case you didn't hear it last night on the Golden Globes, when Meryl Streep was presented the Lifetime Achievement Award, here's Meryl.
But there was one performance this year that stunned me. It sank its hooks in my heart. Not because it was good. There was nothing good about it. But it was effective and it did its job. It made its intended audience laugh and show their teeth. It was that moment when the person asking to sit in the most respected seat in our country imitated a disabled reporter.
Now the poor guy, you got to see this guy. Oh, I don't know what I said. Oh, I don't remember.
Someone he outranked in privilege, power, and the capacity to fight back. It kind of broke my heart when I saw it, and I still can't get it out of my head because it wasn't in a movie. It was real life. And this instinct to humiliate when it's modeled by someone in the public platform, by someone powerful. It filters down into everybody's life because it kind of gives permission for other people to do the same thing. Disrespect invites disrespect. Violence incites violence. when the powerful use their position.
All right, Kevin, pull that down. Obviously, we got this. Somebody has already done some editing work on it, but you get the gist of it. What I want to put out there is, if you are a Trump supporter, can you deny what she said as true?
Right. I think she's so poised, and I think she's such a premier actress. She really is the premier actress.
Not according
of our time.
To Donald Trump.
Here's the
overrated.
Thing. When well, that's she the thing. Got
so yeah. So he tweeted out this morning and took issue with her, calling her overrated. Which, you know, you can I can understand why he wouldn't like what she said, but my goodness, you're going to be president. You've got to stop reacting to
completely
the little people who criticize you.
You guys hear too. She it's not as though she was nominated for, well, she was. If she won an award and went up and started getting political, okay, I might have an issue with that, because in the past, I don't like when they politicize the award shows. But it's the Cecil B. DeMille Award. This is kind of her time to say what she wants.
Right.
Look at Jodie Foster's speech a few years ago, basically, when she basically came out. And, you know, it's her time to say what she wants. So she used her time and for this particular award, this platform, to say what she wanted to say.
Respectfully.
And very, very respectfully. She didn't say him by name. And again, like to Steve's point, I could see where he would take offense because he's very thin-skinned. He needs to knock that off. But was anything she said inaccurate?
And that's what I would like. And, you know, we'll take a break and we'll discuss this after the news. Because typically when I see a celebrity going off in a political direction, I say, shut up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just wondering if it's because I agree with Meryl Streep, if it's okay.
Well, and the other part of his tweet this morning, and he said this before, was he said he was not making fun of this reporter for his disability, but he was imitating how he must have been groveling after the story.
Okay,
I'm just telling you that's his view of it.
I know, so. And a lot of Trump supporters say that too. He was not making fun of a disabled reporter. He was just kind of, you know how when you're talking again on the schoolyard and somebody can't remember something, you're like, oh yeah, you know, like what you can't remember.
Right.
I don't know what the truth is. Steve, you saw when he did it. I mean, does it appear that he was making fun of that particular reporter?
Well.
I won't put you on the spot.
But he has. It fits with some other things that he has done and the way he's ridiculed other people. So it's not like it's a big reach.
So we can continue discussing this after the news, and we'll get a cleaned up version of that audio of Meryl Streep. You're right. This was her time to shine. She has earned this moment, a Lifetime Achievement Award. She can pretty much say whatever she wants.
Absolutely. Yeah, because I don't like when they politicize either. I like Susan Sarandon, and I didn't like when she got up at the Oscars with Tim Robbins many years ago.
I remember that.
Or who's the Godfather? Marlon Brando, boycott. Yeah, it shouldn't be politicized. But again, this is an award where she has an allotted amount of time. Notice she wasn't cut off, and she could say what she wants.
And she's just saying, you know, if, you know, the guy at the top can make fun of people, it gives everyone else permission to do the same. And there's a lot of stuff going on that I don't like, a lot of negativity. And it brings us back to our word of the day from Matthew Hoffman, be kind. Seriously, can we just be kind to one another?
Right. And that was her message, too, empathy.
Yep.
You know, we all really should have empathy for each other.
And I don't think it's a liberal conservative thing. I just want to know, and we can talk about this after the news, if you are a Trump supporter, can you deny the accuracies of what she said? 312-981-7200, a quick break, and we're back with Steve Bertrand's news. It's Andrea Darlis sitting in for Bill Leff. It's me, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. Thank you, Steve. I know this is when Steve Bertrand kind of takes his little break and moseys on down here, gets ready for the Wintrust business lunch. But we were talking about the Golden Globes with Steve. You're welcome to stay unless you're busy. Meryl Streep last night.
Not a break, really. I'm working, but I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You work at Starbucks?
I get a coffee, and then I read what I need to.
I'll take a tall non-fat latte. Thanks,
good.
Steve.
Kevin?
Wendy?
Oh, my God. No, meaning Kevin will go get it. That's what he meant.
Oh, I thought he was taking orders.
No, be kind, Steve. Remember, our positive word of the day, or phrase, be kind.
There he goes.
All right. So Meryl Streep wins the Lifetime Achievement Award at the Golden Globes last night and kind of uses this time to mention something about the top man in charge. And Kevin, I don't know where you have it queued up. Two, right at that particular moment?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Where do you have it queued up to?
Where she starts to talk about the press.
Okay, well, if you didn't tune in, I wanted to replay from the beginning. Do we have that or no?
She defended, well, she literally, because it was sponsored by the Hollywood Foreign Press. So she defended Hollywood and talked about foreigners.
And yes, and about roles. And then she had mentioned about the man who's going to hold the top seat in our nation has made fun of a disabled reporter. And when it comes from up above, it kind of gives permission for everyone else to act like that.
Right. Basically,
that's paraphrasing.
Bullying, basically.
Pretty much. And so my question to you, the listener, and Andrea has this question as well. If you are a Trump supporter, do you agree that what she said was accurate? If you are thinking the other way, because really there would be people that would get up there, and I hated when Bono would get up there and get political. It's like, shut up and sing.
No, me too. I feel the same way. I saw them in concert, and he started talking about whatever platform, because he takes different platforms,
right,
and stuff, and I thought, oh, please, just sing. I love you too. Just sing. And I don't want to politicize it. And a lot of the award shows, I do not like when they politicize. But I think that this was a little different, in that this was a lifetime.
But is that because we agree with it? Because that's what I'm wondering.
See,
is it because I agree with it, so I didn't have a problem with her doing it? I thought she did it very tastefully. And she's just basically trying to say what the phrase of the day is: be kind. Let's be nice to each other.
Have empathy.
That's what you have to do. Hi, Mike. You've called us at 312-981-7200. What's up?
Hi, how you doing? I agree with you, Wendy. I think the circumstances were a little different. It wasn't an award for screenplay. It was a Lifetime Achievement Award, and she gets to, share where she's at. And earlier, you and Steve were talking about how the Trump supporters are downplaying what he actually said. And I recall that vividly. And I recall him saying, "Have you seen this guy?" And then he twisted his body, he contorted his face, he bent his hands all up and waved them around. So the idea that Donald did not appreciate this man was disabled is a lie, because they're saying, oh, well, he didn't really mean that, and he just meant...
It sure looked like he meant it as a personal attack on that particular reporter.
Oh, it was so clear to me. I mean, it was horrible. And if you had done that at a WGN meeting, you'd be fired.
Oh, completely.
And if you did it on the air, you'd be fired. And if I did it right now, you'd hang up on me. So, so the idea that we all have to get along and give him his lead, well, that's where we're going. And I think people who are willing to risk their reputations and take heat to speak truth to power, I'm not a fan of hers, but I'm glad she did it. It's an important conversation to have. So,
Mike, we really appreciate you calling. Thank you so much for that.
I think it'd be hard to look at that video and think that he's not mocking the reporter. I have a very good friend whose daughter has cerebral palsy, and she said, just like this reporter, and she said when she watched that, her heart just sank, because, her daughter... She's a beautiful, beautiful, wonderful girl, Wendy. She was our kid of the week, and she's a Girl Scout, and she wants to live a normal life. And to have to see something like this mocking somebody with a disability, it's just, it's unfathomable until you see it.
It certainly is. Meryl Streep, we have a text. Meryl was given the award for a 40-year career, never reflected on it at all. All politics. I will turn off the Oscars, which I have watched for decades, if one actor gets political. Another thing, I am a Trump supporter. I don't agree with everything he has done, but watching Meryl Streep last night, I watch her for entertainment. I could care less what her opinions are, and she really should have kept them to herself. Also, I would like to say is Meryl Streep is in front of a bunch of people who did not like Trump. So the audience was mainly on her side.
Yeah, no, completely. I mean, I think the audience was in agreement with her. With her. I think it's just a question, too, now, if you think anything should be politicized. Humanitarian awards, speeches, or nothing.
Everybody has a right to their opinion.
Sure.
again, I think it's okay because I agreed with her, but I wonder if I didn't agree with her, if I would be bothered this morning and say, shut your yap, Meryl. We just want to hear about your acting.
Right. And also to be, you know what? Part of it, Wendy, it is Meryl Streep. It's not an up-and-coming actress. I mean, this is someone who has just solidified her spot, you know, as Hollywood gold. She's a premier actress.
And this is part of who she is, right?
Yeah, you know, right. She's an entertainer.
And I put the question out there, if you are a Trump supporter, can you disagree with the accuracies in her speech? Because I don't think she was inaccurate.
No.
All right, well, Carly, you're a Trump supporter, so let's talk about this.
Okay. for one thing, she talked about the foreigners. And it seems everybody thinks all the foreigners in this country are going to get deported. That's not what he's going after. He's going after the individuals who are here illegally.
Mm-hmm.
Not just some actor from Canada, okay? People hear one thing, they take what they want, and they run with it. And they don't see
but Carly, you're kind of doing that too. Now I don't have any people who are here illegally, but you hear these stories of these young kids who maybe their parents did not come here legally, and they're freaking out like, oh my God, are they gonna deport us? Are they gonna send my parents back? You've gotta understand that a little bit too, don't you?
Oh, of course. And you know, but I don't think it's going to come down. Of course, Congress isn't going to allow it to come down how people think it's going to come down. You know what I'm saying? There's going to be a process. There has to be a process of, if you're here illegally and want to stay, do it right. Pay your taxes. Get it done legally. Become a U.S. citizen legally.
Yeah, you know,
if we went
that, yeah,
to a different country and we wanted to live there, we'd have to go through their channels.
It's true.
That's agreed.
Why can't people coming here go through ours?
Very true. I think Meryl Streep was trying to show, you know, Hollywood is a melting pot. Just that's
as is America.
As is America. Yeah. So I think she was doing it, you know, her kind of the allegory of it.
All right. Well,
yeah.
So did you roll your eyes, Carly, being a Trump supporter, did you roll your eyes when she went off on that, you know, the person in high power is making fun of people, which just gives everyone else permission to do so? Did you roll your eyes? Be honest.
I did not.
Good.
I really think she hit the nail on the head, because I'm a Trump supporter because the other candidate knew we would lose a lot of freedoms, I believe, with that one. But anyway.
And people have to realize, too, that just because you support Trump doesn't mean you agree with absolutely everything he does.
Right.
And I think that's where there's a lot of misconception.
Mm-hmm. I do think he's got a lot of good thoughts in his head that he wants to run through to get this country balanced and just back to, I mean, yeah, I don't like what he says or what he tweets, and he's just a little baby in a corner sometimes. But I think his processes and who he puts around him are going to help this country tremendously.
Fingers crossed, Carly. We have the same hopes because we're all living here.
Thanks, Carly.
Thank you so much. All right, we have to take a break, and more people want to chime in on this. Andrea Darlis is sitting in for Bill Left today. I'm Wendy Snyder. Our number's 312-981-7200. It's WGN Radio. It's Andrea Darlis sitting in for Bill Left today, and I thank you for that, Andrea.
Thank you for having me. This is fun.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's You're not tired. All the girls in the room. No,
I do like. How do you like all the testosterone here? Like it's different when Bill's here. What am I saying?
Fantastic.
All right, we were talking about Meryl Streep, and she did use this opportunity to get political. Which honestly, I have to admit, when I watch these shows and I see the politics happen, I usually go, "Yap, yap, yap, shut up."
Me too.
I'm here for entertainment purposes,
right?
But it resonated. What she said resonated with me, and I'm wondering if I'm just okay with it because I agree with her.
No, I think I was thinking about this, too. A part of it might be, like I said, because it's Meryl Streep. She is, again, a premier, revered, respected actress who is really not part of Hollywood. You know, if you think of it, she isn't.
You're right.
Right. She lives on the East Coast. Her daughter now, Mamie Gummer, is also an actress. But her husband, she's been married to forever. They're kind of a quiet East Coast family, so she's not really embroiled in the Hollywood hoopla, if you will, which, I don't know, makes it maybe what she said a little more important.
Anne might have hit the nail on the head. Anne, your thoughts on this?
I just thought that of all the groups and all the people that Trump has belittled and maligned, that she chose to defend a disabled person. And I think that just speaks of her character. And she said her heart was broken. And that really impressed me with just the kind of character that she is.
I appreciate your call on that, Anne. And I think we need to talk to Ralph. Okay, Ralph, go.
Yeah, if she's so important and her comments are so important, why didn't she defend that poor boy or young man in Chicago that got tortured? He's mentally disabled. Nobody ever brings him up.
Well, it wasn't really the opportunity to do.
If you want to talk about mental health problems with people, bring him up too. He got completely tortured.
Absolutely.
Bring him up too. Don't just bring up Trump.
Well, Trump actually was brought up in that story of that poor disabled boy because the four attackers were.
No, I'm talking about Meryl Streep. You know what? I never liked her. I never liked Hollywood anyway.
See, can I just
her
say,
stink.
Ralph,
her movies are boring.
Ralph, listen, please, let me talk to you for 1 minute. Don't hang up. Just listen for 1 second. How come if someone doesn't agree with you, all of a sudden she sucks, she's a bad actress? That's very Donald Trump-like.
She sucks. In my book, she's a poor actor. She's boring. Her movies are boring. I don't care.
But you don't leave room for a conversation. It's just like if you like Meryl Streep, then you're stupid.
Nobody cares.
Excuse me?
Nobody cares what Hollywood says. Nobody cares.
Did you watch it?
Maybe half of America does. Maybe the liberals do. But the rest of the people don't give a darn about Hollywood and what their opinions are.
So you don't care what Meryl Streep said then?
No, I don't care what she says. She's probably lying anyway.
Then why are you so upset?
She's a liberal. She probably lies. Liberals lie all the time. Who knows what she really means?
Ralph, dude, you are going to have, you need high blood pressure medication.
He needs your calendar.
No, why do we have, I mean, why can't, you and I don't, I take it you voted for Trump. You don't have to answer that, but if you did, I didn't. Can't we just have a conversation?
Okay, let's put it this way. I am from Mexico. What do you think I did?
I hope you voted for Hillary.
Why would I?
Wait, what? I'm so confused.
No.
Why should I?
Why did you vote for Trump then?
Because liberals are terrible.
See, you can't just say that.
They lie.
So everybody just regurgitates labels. What am I lying about? I'm not really a liberal. I'm kind of in the middle of both. I swing back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not a liberal. I'm not a conservative. I'm just tired of lying. They lie. They've been lying for 8 years. Bush lied too. It's been terrible. Been terrible for the past since Clinton started.
You don't think Donald Trump is lying at all?
If he's lying, who knows? We're going to find out, right?
You got to
give him 4 years. At the end of the 4 years, we're going to find out if he's lying or not.
Ralph, if things.
I know after 24 years of Bush, Clinton, and Obama, 24 years of lying.
All right,
so whenever
listen.
A liberal stands up in a podium up there in a platform on some. Corny show. Who cares what they say?
Give Ralph your calendar, Wendy. God.
Yeah, the phrase for today is be kind. Ralph, listen, will you make a promise with me? 4 years from now, if I'm still alive, because I'm not in great shape. 4 years from now, if everything's working way better than it is now, can we embrace and have a kumbaya moment?
I'll invite you out for a drink.
All right.
Ah, nice.
You better remember. Call me 4 years from now.
I remember. And I'm not angry. I'm just tired of the lying with both parties. They're terrible.
Both parties.
Horrible.
Yeah.
All right.
Ralph, I'm going for a drink, too.
Andrea's coming with, but. All right. So,
Now
be honest with me about this. You don't think Meryl Streep is that bad of an actress, do you?
No, I like Clint Eastwood better.
Have a great day, buddy.
That's funny. See, we can end on a happy note,
that's
right?
That's what we have to do.
But Meryl Streep, you cannot argue. She is a fantastic. Fantastic actress.
You and I think so. Maybe there are people that's not their cup of tea. You heard
Ralph.
She's
not Ralph's cup of tea.
She's not Clint Eastwood.
I know.
Go ahead, make my day. All right, Ralph. People like that, see, we can talk. We can end it with a laugh. That's what my saying is going to be for the year.
Apparently, we're going for a drink, too.
All right,
so
we can.
There you go.
All right, quick break. Eric Zorn's coming by for his weekly visit, of course, from the Chicago Tribune. Perhaps you read him online or in the actual newsprint. Eric Zorn coming up. It's Andrea Darlis sitting in for Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN.
Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
Andrea Darlis has not heard this introduction to Eric Zorn.
That.
It's from the Fox TV series, Son of Zorn.
Which Tim Meadows is in, isn't he? I love him.
Yeah, Tim Meadows is in. It's
reminds me of Princess Bride a little bit.
I don't think it's a very good show. I watch it occasionally just because.
It's a great intro.
I was really hoping that it was going to just have one episode and then disappear because I don't want my name to be branded. The character Zorn in this show is a real doofus. So, anyway.
No.
But he's the greatest father in all the land.
I do like that though,
according to himself. But I got a theme song out of it, so it's kind of nice.
Happy New Year. We haven't talked since the New Year because we weren't working on Monday.
Right.
I like to say this is the first Monday of 2017 that people are working, but Kevin disputes that.
Because he was probably working.
No, he wasn't even yet. Still, I think he just likes to be a contrarian. Mm-hmm. So welcome. Earlier today, we were talking with Steve Bertrand because his son Noah went on his own at 4 in the morning on Saturday, waited in line for hours, and did get a ticket to the Obama last blast here in Chicago.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I got media credentials today. And
Andre, you're going.
Yeah, I'm going
some too.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there. I feel like I've got a collection of Obama speeches that I attended. I was there when he announced for the U.S. Senate back in 2007. I think it was like January 2007. It was really early in the process. I was there for that speech. I was there for his convention speech in 2004, and then I was in Grant Park for his speech the night he won. So I feel like this is like I've got to be there to see him out.
You're an Obama mama.
Yeah,
Obama
totally
groupie.
I kind of feel that way too, because last year we did so much at the radio station with the caucuses and the primaries and the conventions and election night. So this is kind of like putting the year in a bow.
Yes.
A bow on the top, yeah.
Although I got to say, I'm not looking forward to what I'm expecting him to say.
Talk.
I'm expecting him to give us another spin on his optimism, his we are all one nation. This
stronger
whole
together.
The whole thing that I feel, I love the optimism of it, but I think it's unrealistic.
What is he supposed to say?
We're doomed.
It'll never work.
I'm glad you asked that because I have, I wrote a, well, this is a small thing here for my Sunday column. I did a proposed have him look back on his 2004 speech, in hindsight. Now this is the one, the 2004 speech is that, well, the excerpts are
this
here.
This is great.
This is the one from the Democratic convention in Boston, I think. So he should say this. When I said in 2004 that, quote, there is not a liberal America and a conservative America, there's the United States of America, unquote, it turns out I was misinformed. Our nation is riven by deep and ever-deepening ideological differences, conflicting visions of what America ought to be that are fundamentally irreconcilable. When I said, quote, there's not a black America and a white America and a Latino America and Asian America, there's the United States of America, unquote, I was misleadingly aspirational. Tribalism of all sorts infects our politics and pushes us apart. I derided the pundits who like to slice and dice our country into red states and blue states, red states for Republicans and blue states for Democrats. And I said, I've got news for them. We are one people, all of us pledging allegiance to the stars and stripes of all of us defending the United States of America. But it wasn't the pundits who were doing the slicing and dicing. It was the people, and it was the politicians who knew all along what I was trying to deny back then, that polarization, demonization, and fear are strong motivators of an ever-angry electorate. And then I go on a little bit in this vein, I talk about the Republicans made great gains in state houses and in Congress by exacerbating our divisions and demonizing Obama. The Republican who will next week become our president became politically prominent by relentlessly promoting the lie that I was not born in the United States, along with scores of other lies. In 2004, I said, out of this long political darkness, a brighter day will come. In 2017, I say, I regret the error.
Now that's what he should say, but he won't.
No, I don't want to hear that speech.
Here's what I want to hear. I want to hear him offer a vision going forward, a realistic vision going forward for Democrats who want to do battle with, realistically do battle with what Trump and Trumpism is going to bring to us. I want him to talk about not the nation that he wishes were there, but the nation that is. What is the strategy going forward for the nation that is? And the Democrats are leaderless. They're dispirited. They're dwindling in numbers. And we all thought
the Republican Party was imploding.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It's been quite a reversal. But for him to get up and say, he has accomplishments. He has things that happened during his tenure, his administration, to point to. And I don't begrudge him that at all. But I think as he looks, he's going to look back some, and that's fine. But as he looks forward, I don't want to hear him talk about how we are all one people. We're all coming together. This is his brand. I know, and I know he's not going to say this, but I feel like this optimism of his, this idea that if we just sat down and reasoned together, we would all come to common sense conclusions and solutions to our problems. And that we're really all basically the same. I just don't think that that's true, and it's certainly not true anymore. And you look at how the Democrats and how Donald Trump, how the Democrats lost, and how Donald Trump won the White House, and it was not with this "we're together, we're coming together." It was like telling rural America, working class America, they hate you. They're elitist. They don't like you, and you're going to punish them. And that's why so many people, I think, voted against what's going to be in their economic interests.
It's not true, but I don't think we can handle the truth, if I may quote Jack Nicholson. We can't handle the truth.
I think you're right. I think he is going to... Remember, he ran on this whole platform of hope. That was his big... I think Eric, and I hope he does this, I think he'll come back to that and kind of look ahead, because you're right, Wendy. The Democratic Party really has been knocked down a few pegs, and they really need to regroup. And I think he's going to focus on young Democrats, recruiting young Democrats, maybe getting more women, people of color involved in the process, and saying, hey, you know what? Look ahead now. This is the hand that we've been dealt as Democrats and as an America, and coming from his perspective, of course. But look ahead. And I think he's going to circle back to that message of hope.
You've got to. That's all we have. Hope is my middle name now, because that's all I have.
Hope has got. You've got to have a strategy, though. You've got to have something that when you're going forward, how are they going to fight? The Republicans are fixed to dismantle just about all of Obama's legacy that they possibly can, starting with health care. What's going on with that at this point?
It was supposed to be, Donald Trump wanted it gone. Then it's like, I'm going to keep some things. We'll just repeal some of the things.
My sense is that there are enough Republican senators who have strong reservations about this idea of simply repealing Obamacare and then sort of seeing what happens, repealing it now, replacing it down the line, that they're going to hold off on a full repeal. I mean, the thing about Obamacare is that it's kind of a three-legged stool. You've got this idea that people can be covered for their pre-existing conditions, right?
For the right money.
If you've got a pre-existing condition, an insurance company can't deny you. It can't jack up all the rates. And then you've got this idea of the insurance mandate. To do this, you have to require people to buy insurance, or you have to penalize them if they don't buy insurance. And you have to have everybody kind of in the system. Otherwise, insurance companies will just go broke, because people will just wait till they get, leukemia or Hodgkin's or something like that,
and then they'll get their insurance.
So you can't do that. And the other leg is the subsidies. You have to have government subsidies, because Obamacare is for people who don't have a lot of money, so they can't pay the full premium. So there's a lot of tax programs and tax money that goes into these subsidies. So you get this sort of three-legged stool. You pull out the subsidies and the stool falls over. Or if you say that if you don't have pre-existing condition, if you don't have that right to buy insurance, then suddenly then we're back to where we were before, where you had 20 million more people without health insurance because they couldn't afford it and they couldn't get it, and it was bankrupting people and so on.
But to start from scratch is almost impossible.
Well, and the thing is that the Republicans had many, many years to propose something. They've had 6 years to come up with a plan since Obamacare passed. I mean, they've been passing bills to repeal Obamacare in the House for 6 years. They have yet to agree on a plan that will work to do that for them. So there's a bunch of different ideas that are floating around out there, but they've been unable to get behind any of them, and none of them actually really solve this problem, because what this is covering up is the truth is that the Republicans for years have not considered health care to be a right. they've considered to be sort of a privilege, good health care to be kind of a privilege. And Obamacare has changed that discussion. And Obamacare has and people think, and Donald Trump has said, we're going to provide you with something that's better and cheaper. It's going to have you, give you better care for less money. It's the promise that he made. I was trying to say all along, a lot of people are saying all along, you can't do it. I mean, this is it's a big, complicated problem that's got a lot of little moving parts in it. Obamacare was not an ideal solution. It wasn't a perfect solution. It was all that they could get done.
And some people absolutely loved it and couldn't have lived without it, and some people hated it.
And a lot of the things that it does, people like. I mean, there's a small percentage of people, something like 25-30% of the public, wants Obamacare repealed. Most people want it fixed. They want the problems with it fixed somehow. Now, it's a problem to fix those, but it's going to be all on the Republicans if they just decided all of a sudden they're going to have to repeal this. They're going to have to work together with the Democrats to fix Obamacare. And then they can call it what they want. They can call it Ryan Care or Trump Care or McConnell Care, whatever they want to call it. But they have to figure out a way to fix it.
There are great parts of it. There are. There is a lot of, that does need to be fixed. But you're right. Repealing it completely would be disastrous.
Yeah, it would. And you're going to throw a lot of people either off their health care. It's right. Going to be way too expensive for them to have it. But even if you repeal and then delay, insurance companies are going to come out of the marketplace and the whole thing's going to collapse anyway. So it's a big problem for them.
All right. We'll continue talking with Zorn. What is it, Zorn?
The greatest father in all the land.
I knew he'd remember that. He's Eric Zorn. You can read him at Chicago Tribune online, in the paper too, Chicago Tribune, and you can hear him right here. The Bill and Wendy Show, we're a little Bill light, but he does return tomorrow.
Is Bill not here?
720 WGN. It's Wendy Snyder here along with Andrea Darlis filling in for Bill Leff. And, of course, we are visiting, as we usually do on Monday at 11:30, with Eric Zorn from the Chicago Tribune. Andrea, you have something from the Better Business Bureau that was just issued.
We've been talking about President Obama's farewell speech tomorrow. The tickets were free. They are gone. But people are now trying to sell these tickets. So the BBB warning people, there's actually a few postings that went up today that say that there have been free tickets, more tickets released for the speech. That's not true. So if you see these, beware. That's probably a scam. Don't call. If you see it on Craigslist and people are charging you money, don't do it.
Eric, you and Andrea got these via the press, so you didn't have to wait in line. If you had to wait in line on Saturday, would you have done it, either of you?
No.
Eric, I see you doing it for some reason.
Yeah, you know, I thought about it. My wife thought about it, too. She really wanted to see it. The thing is, it was so cold.
Yeah. It was
And
cold.
I didn't know that you could wait inside. If I had known you could wait inside, I might have encouraged her to go down there. But
part of the line was inside in the annex of McCormick Place, and then the others lined up. And I guess at one point, people were showing up, you know, 4, 5, 6 in the morning, and the police had said, if you got there, the tickets went on sale at 8, and they said, if you got there after 7, just go home. Because you're not going to get anything.
Really?
Don't wait in line. There's
already... How much was parking? How much did people have to pay for parking to get these tickets?
They could park there or the Hyatt next door. But that's expensive. At least 20 bucks.
Street parking at that time of day, I think, may be free. Overnight? I don't know. Down in there on the streets?
Yeah, is there street parking near McCormick Place?
The parking meters that you have to pay. Yeah, I think those go in about 8
o'clock.
Where
the new arena's going in for DePaul basketball?
Yeah, the Wintrust Arena.
Pretty cool. Mm-hmm. What else? We don't have a lot of time, Eric. We have about 4 minutes.
Well, let's talk just real briefly about what's going on in Springfield, which is that we have 2 days left in the lame duck session, and the new legislature is being sworn in on Wednesday.
We've gone a whole year without a budget.
Oh, we've gone since July of 2015.
Yeah,
that just sounds so funny. Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot of chatter. Like the terrorist chatter, there's been a lot of chatter in the last couple of days that the Senate Democrats and the Senate Republicans have reached some sort of an agreement or have the rough outlines of an agreement that to get a budget put forward. And it would involve taking the income tax back up to about 5%. It's at 3.75 now.
Right.
It would involve a property tax freeze, but only for 2 years. This is what people are talking about. It would involve a new sugary drink tax, which would be on top of the Cook County.
Ridiculous.
It's going to be like $5 for a Coke now.
Ask you, though, that would still count on a Diet Coke, even though there's no sugar in it, right?
Well, it's true in Cook County, for sure. It's all sweetened drinks in Cook County. It's
like
not just
tea,
sugar.
Yeah.
So any kind of
lemonade.
Diet Snapple.
That is a complete joke. I say legalize marijuana, and there you go. They're taxing our Coca-Colas.
Yeah, no, they are.
That's ridiculous.
Well, there was a tampon tax up until last week too.
I'm menopausal now, so that doesn't affect me.
And the other thing that's on the docket is I'm just going to talk right through that. The other thing,
I love to embarrass guys.
The other thing on the docket is it would be term limits for legislative leaders. And this is all about getting at Mike Madigan. And just this morning, while there's this talk that agreement might be coming together, maybe Madigan will get on board, I got several emails from the Illinois Republican Party doubling down on this. It's time to throw out Mike Madigan. It's time to oust him or evict him, or I forget the term. Coup d'etat.
Any scenario where he's not reelected?
Well, there's been talk that Scott Drury, the Democrat from, I think, Highwood, is that where he's from?
Would run for
Madigan's seat, and he would get all the Republicans and then just peel off about 9 Democrats, and he could do it. I don't think that's going to happen at all. I think the Democrats know that Mike Madigan is strong, and he's their only hope to protect them against this onslaught from Matt.
It's like Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Rauner just put $50 million into his campaign war chest. So it's going to be a really expensive, costly, long battle. And I think campaign 2018 has already started, and that's why I don't have much optimism for what's going on. But this is the smallest glimmer of hope down there right now. So,
well, keep us posted, and we'll find out by reading you online, Chicago Tribune Online. And what, Kevin? Oh.
In the newspaper.
We have a tiny bit more time.
Oh.
So I'm going to ask you, how long has Mike Madigan been in office?
He's been Speaker 31 of the last 33 years. There was a 2-year time he was not. And I don't know how long
I want to say 64 was when he was first.
Oh, I don't think he's that old, is he? That's,
no, maybe
but
right.
I think it was in the 70s, late 70s. But he's been there since the earth cooled off, basically.
He has been Speaker since, oh, good Lord. Now I have to go to, he's the longest serving Speaker. Yeah. All right, hold on. 1971.
So he's been in office in 71. He's been Speaker, like I say, of the last 33 years.
How do you get him out, ever?
Well, the only way you get him out is if the Democratic caucus votes him out, because they have the majority, or if the Republicans take the House and they're still like, say, 9
seats. Or if they put term limits on leadership, or term limits, period, but I don't see that happening.
Well, if they enacted a term limit amendment.
You can even put 10 years on there and it would still.
Just term limits for leadership?
I totally agree with you. I'm not a big fan of, because the thing is, we don't vote. The public has no say in leadership except, you know, very, very indirectly. We do vote for our state reps. Mike Madigan has to go before the voters every 2 years. I don't like the idea so much of just of term limits for state legislators, because that puts a lot more power in the lobbyists and the bureaucrats and with the governor, frankly, if your legislators are term limited. So I do like the idea of term limits.
What about a 20-year term limit?
Right. Well, that I could foresee. That I could see.
But the thing is that Mike Madigan is—he's 70, what, 2, 3, something like that.
Yeah,
he's going to retire before any of these things could actually be. 74. He's going to retire before these changes will be put into effect anyway. This is all about. I think as Neil Steinberg put it this morning, that Madigan is Bruce Rauner's white whale. This is Moby Dick in action. And remember, things didn't turn out so well for Ahab, and they probably aren't going to turn out so well for Rauner. So,
all right, now I can say that you can read Eric Zorn online at ChicagoTribune.com. Pick up a Chicago Tribune or listen to us every Monday at 11:30 because he comes by. Thank you so much. Happy New Year.
Great to see both of you.
See you.
Quick break, and then we'll see what Steve Bertrand has coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Andrea Darlis sitting in for Bill Leff. And thank you for that, by the way.
Thank you, Wendy. This has been fun. And a buddy's coming up, I know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Pete McMurray, the second half. And Bill Leff will be back tomorrow at 720 WGN. Thank you so much, Kim. We appreciate everything you do. Welcome back. You were on vacation.
I appreciate you. Yes, I was.
Where'd you go?
California for 2 weeks.
How about that?
Yeah. Look, and my son got engaged while I was out there.
I saw that on Facebook. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We will, of course, say happy anniversary to him each and every
year
that
he
celebrates.
I'll let you know.
Look who's here. It's Pete McMurray.
It's great to be here.
Hey,
we've never worked together. I love this.
You know what? You're absolutely right, and I've known you forever.
I know. This is nice.
Well, you know, I don't know if you recall who was working with me earlier to fill in for Bill Leff. Bill's back tomorrow, by the way, but Andrea Darlis is on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrea, thank you for sitting in during the first half.
I had a blast, Wendy. That was awesome.
But we had a little side bet going. And
I don't understand this.
Did I win, Wendy?
You did not win. Now, let's go over this a little bit. Hey, buddy. Pete McMurray is a very snappy dresser.
Yes.
We've noticed different colored jeans on your nice butt.
Right. Red, green.
You do have a plethora of colors.
Orange. Sure.
All right. So Andrea started this.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, your holiday,
the holiday
suit.
Pants, yeah.
St. Patrick's Day suit.
Yes, have that too. Uh-huh.
Quite the dresser. All right, Andrea started this. I will blame you. What color pants you think Pete McMurray would show up in?
I thought Petey, Mr. Buddy, would go with the red pants today.
Now, why red?
Because I've seen you, we've all seen you in red pants a lot.
That seems more of a spring thing for me.
Oh, my God, he overthinks.
Colors of spring, summertime.
Holidays. You kind of bring your A game when you have the red pants on. It's kind of a mellow mood. I thought maybe for a Monday. I figured a Monday would be a red.
Okay.
I thought you would have like a pair of green pants, maybe like a forest green.
Mm-hmm. I do have a pair of forest green
pants. We know that you have all these colors.
Right.
Kevin, you went with what?
I said specifically tucked in plaid.
A shirt. Pants.
Right, right. With some blue jeans. Which I think I won.
Your closest. I was up and talking to management, and Todd Manley said maybe a mustard yellow. And
mustard yellow pants?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I swear I've seen you in those.
No mustard yellow.
Yeah, I thought you had a yellow pant, too.
No,
like
no
gold.
Yellow pants. No gold pants. Khaki.
No, khaki's no too plain for you. And then Stephanie Menendez said like cubby blue. The royal blue. You
like
have
that.
Those.
I do. Oh, I have a few pair of those, and I do have cubby pants. With the Cub logo.
Do you see why we placed this bet?
You guys are hilarious.
No, you are.
Funny. He said the winner had to buy Starbucks.
Well, it looks the winner had to buy Starbucks. That doesn't seem fair. Why would you try then?
Oh, all right. Maybe not then. That sounds kind of good to me right now.
All right. Well, he is wearing denim, but Kevin, denim to me is like blue denim, like, you know, a pair
That's
of Levi's.
He's got...
Pete,
he's
jeans
casual today,
and a
right?
flannel shirt.
Yeah, casual Pete today.
I guess they're
jeans
dark.
Jeans and a flannel.
All right, I guess they were.
But I walked into the office, and Kevin looks at me. He's like, oh. First thing out of his mouth. I'm like, what happened?
What is he, Andrew Dice Clay now?
Oh. He goes, oh, we were betting
we
on your outfit.
We should have done the whole outfit, like the rolled up jeans with the Converse or the trendy shoes.
What shoes are you wearing?
I am wearing boots, black boots. I haven't worn the Chuck Taylor since I had surgery because I got the bad foot right now.
Oh, bad wheel. That's right. All right. Well, Kevin wins.
I felt good about
Kevin,
it.
Kevin, I'll take a tall, non-fat latte.
That's not, how bets go. It shouldn't be the winner gets to buy you stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We'll have to buy him Starbucks, Wendy.
All right. We will do that. I hope you want a caffeine break because we're all going to buy it for you, I guess. Thank you, Andrea. Thanks for sitting in. We appreciate it.
Bye, guys. See you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
She's fun to work with, isn't she?
Everybody is fun around here.
I know. I love it.
And I can't believe you and I have never worked together before.
I've known you forever.
I know.
This is the first time.
Well, God, let's memorialize this somehow.
I like it.
Let's have a fun day. And Kevin wins not only by picking the blue denim, but also the plaid flannel shirt. Not tucked in, but still Kevin wins.
You can't really tuck in flannel. It's too much.
Yeah, Kevin, you don't tuck in flannel. Why would you say that?
I don't
that?
Tuck in anything. Ever.
Although, can I just ask you a question?
Kevin or me?
Both of you.
All right.
Why do you wear your shirt so tight?
What do you mean? That's the look.
Isn't it
everything has to be tailored.
Form-fitted. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, this is great. I feel good.
But don't you put it in the dryer?
What? Yeah.
No.
Doesn't it shrink?
No. You don't dry shirts.
What do you do?
You hang them up.
So you wash them and then hang them up wet, right? And
yes.
It's like a crusty piece of bread.
Right.
And then you tumble it in the dryer once it's dry?
Yes, very good. Yep.
I've learned.
Or you iron it. Kevin, do you iron?
You don't iron a flannel shirt.
You throw this in the dryer.
What about like a t-shirt, Pete? You throw a t-shirt in the dryer?
It depends. My Cub 47 shirts, the medium is a perfect size for me. If I throw it in the dryer, it shrinks. I'm telling you, it's an art.
See,
you have to know your size.
Or the art of shrinking to your size. You
right.
get it a little big, and then you throw it in the dryer so it shrinks down. That's,
yeah.
Yep.
This is the modern man right here, Wendy.
Will you teach my husband a few of these tricks?
Sure. Yes.
Because he has started doing laundry because he works from home now. And I said, you know, with two teenage boys and yourself, Jim, maybe you could keep up with some of the laundry. It's still in the basement. It has not made it up to the upstairs.
That's painful right there.
And then everybody's stuff is mixed together. Like, I like my basket full of my stuff, so then I can put it away. Dylan gets his basket. Michael gets his. He's got everybody's together.
You got to have a system. You got to talk to him. You got
to
sit him down.
You got to talk to him.
You
got to
have a family
meeting. Me.
I should have stopped by on Friday. You Jimmy Mack, we got to talk laundry here. I do all the laundry at our house. All of it.
You are such a modern dad.
You know what? Because my wife, when we first got married, I grew up with 12 kids.
Yeah.
And I started doing the wash in fifth grade because you wouldn't have anything clean unless you did your own laundry.
So you did your own. You didn't do your brother's or sister's.
But when I first got married 15 years ago, my wife washed my 47 t-shirts and dried them. And I'm like, that's it. You're done forever. She's like, okay. I think she did it on purpose.
I think so, too, because usually the guy does that where he messes something up. So then we just say, oh, my God, we'll just do it.
Yeah, don't ever do it again.
Wow. She did the reverse spin. I like that.
Right.
She's a smart woman. Plus, she married you, Pete.
Well, thank you.
All right. Pete McMurray is sitting in for Bill Left. Bill is scheduled to come back tomorrow. Right now on this very radio station, every other week we do something called Military Mondays. And it's a segment where we highlight different military organizations, vets, and those who serve. It's sponsored by the Federal Savings Bank. And today we are going to meet Paul Dillon. Paul is on the line with us right now. Paul, CEO of Dillon Consulting Services, LLC, a firm that serves the veteran entrepreneur community. Could you build on that a little bit, Paul?
First of all, thanks for having me on the program.
Absolutely.
What I've been doing is to try to help veterans who want to start their own businesses. And
it's hard enough for just a civilian to start their own business. And veterans come back an adjustment period, and it's difficult. You also serve as veterans advocate for the Kennedy Forum here in Illinois. You served in the Vietnam War?
Yes. I was an Army Reserve officer in the Vietnam War. And
two Bronze Stars, Pete.
Wow.
Two Bronze Stars, right. it was a while ago, but... I remember it like yesterday, I got to tell you.
So. Well, we thank you so much for your service. And when you came back, obviously it was an adjustment to civilian life. How are you helping these vets build an entrepreneurial business?
Well, I've been talking to quite a bit of people, quite a number of people, and have been... trying to advocate for veterans who want to start businesses, and came up with the concept for a veteran incubator in Chicago that has been really put into reality by Todd Connor at the Bunker, who's a wonderful young man, former naval officer, and Todd, whom I understand you've interviewed on your program.
Exactly.
Yeah, right, has really taken the concept and really run with it. And I owe Todd and his colleagues quite a bit. They really put into action what the idea I had back in 2012, 2013. So hats off to them. They've done a remarkable job.
And you as well, Paul Dillon on the line with us. I didn't mean to cut you off, but you have worked, you do work with the Kennedy Forum here in Illinois as well. And of course, there's a lot of stigma out there with mental health issues. And yet if you talk to any family, if they would admit it, I would say mental illness is in all of our families. But we need to talk about it, don't we?
We do. And the Kennedy Forum is a national nonprofit organization that was created by former U.S. Representative Patrick J. Kennedy in 2013 to really set a new standard for the future of healthcare in the United States. And, you know, it wants to unite the healthcare system and rally the mental health community around a common set of principles and give consumers a way to understand their rights. But there are two aspects of it that are particularly important to veterans. And one is erasing the stigma of mental illness, substance abuse, post-traumatic stress, and a traumatic brain injury, because for those of us who served, there is the ethos of the warrior, no weaknesses, 100% ready for duty, zero defects. And unfortunately, in many instances, substance abuse, post-traumatic stress, and other types of mental illnesses have been viewed as weaknesses, as moral failings.
That's hardly the case, though. That's certainly not a weakness, but I could see where a lot of veterans would not want to admit, you know, I need help, because they've been leaders. They don't want to ask for help themselves.
Mm-hmm. But that's right. And, these are not moral failings. These are not weaknesses. They're diseases, just like cancer, diabetes are diseases. And people in the military veteran community or in the civilian community need to realize that and go seek help. And it takes courage to ask for help. It really does. It's the weak person, the weak soldier, the weak veteran who hides it. It's a strong person who recognizes that there's an issue here. It goes and seeks help. And that's one of the primary focuses of the Kennedy Forum, is to ensure that we break the silence regarding these diseases and that you go out and seek help for them.
Now, do you think that the best way to break the stigma is to just talk about it like we are right now, to say, yeah, there's mental illness in my family and probably my neighbor has it too?
That's absolutely. We need to talk about it. And we need not to hide it, because, if you have diabetes, you don't hide that. If you have cancer, you'll talk about it in your family or your friends. This is no different. These are diseases, and they can be cured, or at least the symptoms alleviated. And we do need to talk about it. And that's one of the primary purposes of the Kennedy Forum, is to break the silence. Over these diseases.
We've come a long way, too, because I know that my kids have ADHD. I've been diagnosed with it as well. There's a lot of anxiety in me right now because I'm working with Pete McMurray. But seriously, but these are things that, it's in my 30s and 40s, my sister would say, oh, yeah, our grandmother suffered from depression and anxiety. And I'm like, what?
Yep.
Why didn't you tell me that?
Because people don't talk about it.
No, it was always swept under the rug.
Right. And that was that was particularly true in the military. And certainly when I came back from Vietnam, nobody talked about it. I mean, post-traumatic stress wasn't even diagnosed as a field of study until 1980. So nobody, if you had a problem when you came back from Vietnam, you hit it, because nobody understood it and nobody did anything about it. Thank God now there is so much help out there for the veteran, and they need to go out and seek it and utilize the resources that are out there. And there's one other aspect of this that's extremely important, and that's under the 2008 parity law, which former Representative Kennedy authored. Insurance companies need to treat mental illness in the same way that they treat physical illness.
Absolutely.
And that's important for the veteran to understand, because realistically, when people muster out of the service, they go get a job and they get their health care through their employer. So it's estimated two thirds of the veterans, when they seek mental health assistance, seek it outside of the VA, because they do it through their health system, the health plan that their employer has. Well, they have to know their rights under the 2008 parity law, that disease, these diseases need to be covered in the same way that physical illnesses are. And if you go to the KennedyForum.org, there's a little neat little thing on there called Parity Track, an app called Parity Track. And you can go look at it, and you can see state by state what your rights are under the 2008 parity law. You can file a complaint even if somebody is denying you coverage or less coverage than you would get for a physical illness. So that's the other aspect that the Kennedy Forum is very concerned about when it comes to the veteran community.
They've done some great work. Paul Dillon is on the line with us, president and CEO of Dillon Consulting Services, a firm that serves the veteran entrepreneur community. And you're also a veterans advocate for that Kennedy Forum, Illinois, that we've been talking about, KennedyForum.org. Paul, my question to you before we let you go is, if someone is listening right now that is a veteran and they have maybe some issues, maybe need some therapy, where do they go for help? They can't be turned down by the VA, correct? Where do they go to find out help?
Well, the VA has a crisis hotline, so call your local VA, and the first thing that'll pop up is the crisis helpline, and our resources at the KennedyForum.org that they could go to and seek help there.
But, and they can't be turned down, can they?
They cannot be turned down. Mm-hmm. They need to be seek help and get treated right away. I know when I go to the VA, the first screening question they ask is, are you under stress? And do you think you have a problem, et cetera, et cetera. So they're pretty good about screening for this type of thing. So go to the veterans crisis hotline and seek help as soon as you can.
And get out there and talk about it, people. If you have mental illness in your family, it doesn't make you a weak member of society. Talk about it, because the more we talk about it, I think the more people will get help.
Absolutely.
Paul, thank you so much for all the great work you do with the Kennedy Forum here in Illinois, as well as your Dillon Consulting Services. Continued success to you, and thank you so much for participating in WGN's Military Monday.
Thank you so much for having me on your program. It's been a privilege.
Thank you. We want to thank the Federal Savings Bank for sponsoring our Military Monday segment, as well as Walgreens for making their generous donation to the USO of Illinois Sweet Home Chicago Care Package Program. Let me tell you what's in some of these care packages. Baby wipes, nuts and seeds, beef jerky, thick black socks, seasoned salt, Kleenex, travel size, of course, lip balm, chewing gum, and ramen noodles. And the Federal Savings Bank has teamed up with Walgreens to make such wonderful donations to the USO of Illinois Sweet Home Chicago Care Package Program. And if you'd like to find out more about this, you can go to KennedyForum.org and find out about Paul Dillon. Thank you to him. And Pete McMurray is sitting in for Bill Leff. We're going to take a quick break, news time, and then you and I are going to have some fun this afternoon.
Nice.
720 WGN. Oh, this makes me think of Christmas.
I love peanuts.
Only 362 shopping days.
No.
Until next year.
No. Don't go there.
Pete McMurray sitting in for Bill Leff, the mellifluous tones of one Pete McMurray.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of texts. People are loving you.
This is nice. It's great to be back at WGN, but I feel like Bill's been gone for a month.
He came back for one day.
I saw him. That day he came back, and then he took off again.
That was too much for him. He needed a week off. He's back tomorrow, maybe for one day, and then maybe another week off. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Right.
All right. I want to talk to you. When we knew each other years ago, we've never worked together till today.
Right.
How's it going so far?
So far, so good.
All right, good. I can change
that. You're
easy
to talk to.
Thank
you're
you.
You're a guy's girl, if that makes sense.
That is people. The biggest compliment you could ever give me.
Right.
I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Let's go grab a beer later.
Nice.
When we knew each other, neither of us had kids.
Isn't that crazy?
And now you have Charlie. How old is he?
Charlie's 11. I just have one. Yes.
I have Dillon, who's 14, and Michael, who's 17. And knock on wood, I have been very lucky. No peanut allergies in my family. What about you?
So have we. Charlie's not allergic to anything, but he has a girl in his class that is deathly allergic to peanuts. Can't even whiff the peanuts. There's, at the beginning of every year, they send out a note saying no peanut anything. Remember when someone had a birthday, they'd bring in candy bars? You can't do that anymore.
Oh, you can't do that.
Forget it.
Which I kind of like, because really the person whose birthday it is really shouldn't be responsible for bringing in the stuff. They should be the one that's enjoying the benefit
right.
of cupcakes or what have you.
But you figure 20 or 24 times a year you were getting candy on someone's day.
Oh, I guess that's right.
Yeah, it was nice.
And the summer birthday people got ripped off.
Right.
I have sent my kids with peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to school for pretty much all their elementary school years.
You can't do that.
Well, I did.
Did they get busted?
No. Evidently, there is. I know that there are varying kinds of nut allergies. And I know that some people, as you mentioned, the girl in Charlie's class can't even be around it to breathe it in.
It's terrible, yes.
But evidently, in my kids' elementary school, there is not someone with allergies that severe, because I've sent them, not now, but when they were in like K through five, mm-hmm. they brought peanut butter sandwiches almost every day.
When we were growing up, did you ever hear of a peanut allergy?
Never.
No one in my class, no one in my school, and now it's everywhere. I feel like someone always has a peanut allergy. Why is that?
I think, in my own personal opinion, and then we'll get an expert's point of view, I think it is because of we are clean freaks now. I mean, didn't you go out and play in the mud when you were little? In the sandbox?
I had seven brothers, of course.
Oh, of course
yes.
you did.
Fistfights, mud, everything.
I had a sandbox that I'm sure the neighborhood cats relieved themselves in, but I played there, I got dirty, and then all of a sudden this Purell thing happened, and everybody was worried about germs, and you wiped everything down.
God, you could be right on that. We're germaphobes.
We have kind of turned into a germaphobe nation. Dr. Rachel Story is on the line with us, pediatric food allergy, asthma, and immunology expert for North Shore University Health System. First of all, hello, Dr. Rachel Story. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for having me.
I want to know if, you know, I'm a little bit of a hypochondriac, and I wonder if my theory of not getting down and dirty has anything to do with the occurrence of allergies these days.
Well, you did mention actually one of the leading theories on why we have more, not just food allergies, but asthma and environmental allergies. And that is kind of what you're getting at, something called the hygiene hypothesis, that not just, you know, playing in the, you know, in the sandbox, that included, but also things like being born in hospitals, having clean water supplies. Years and years ago, when we weren't exposed to so many germs, our immune systems were really busy fighting infections. But now that we're much cleaner, we think that that might have to do with our immune system not being deviated to fighting infections and being more likely to have allergies.
How about that, Pete?
So yeah. If we're slobs, then that's a good thing.
It might be helpful. A little dirt is good for us, yes.
Well, really, we were out from morning until night when we were growing up. You'd skin your knee, and I'm sorry, there weren't a lot of times that I would run home to put the Bactine on it. Mm-mm. You'd just kind of get a garden hose, maybe, you know, put water on it to clean it off, and you'd go back to riding your bike. And now it's like everything is wiped down.
Yeah, and we do know that, you know, being around germs helps train our immune system, so a lack of germs is probably playing a role in allergic diseases and also maybe in some other disorders as well. Having a good gut, you know, good micro.
I know. I take Healthy Trinity. Yeah. I'm serious.
you're right.
So they help us.
Your inner ecosystem controls the way your whole body operates. It truly does. I also know that you'd take your kid to the pediatrician if they had a sore throat or a sinus infection. And a lot of times, without question, they would give you a prescription for an antibiotic. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you're a doctor, Dr. Story, we can ask you this, but my pediatrician has kind of said, well, let's give it a week and see what happens. And if they're not better, call us, because we've become resistant to antibiotics as well.
Well, that's true. And I think a lot, you know, in the past, we were not nearly as careful with our antibiotic use. And we're trying to get more and more careful and use it really when it's indicated for bacterial infections. Because especially if you get it for a virus, which sometimes makes people feel better, they leave with a prescription, but it will kill off the good bacteria that are helping you, and it's not going to help fight that virus. So doctors are becoming much more careful about prescribing antibiotics, really only when they're needed, not only to prevent allergies, but to prevent the resistance that we're seeing.
You got to wait it out.
You do.
Basically, yeah. With that.
Pete, do you remember when Charlie first started eating solid foods? And I don't know how hands-on. You were a pretty hands-on dad.
Yes.
My kids, I was told by my pediatrician to give them vegetables first because they're going to love fruits.
Mm-hmm.
But vegetables, you know, are a little more bitter. So get them eating that first because you know they'll like fruit. And I think I put little peanut butter on my finger because I don't know if that's, thank God they didn't have peanut allergies, but
right.
It wasn't very prevalent. And now I heard in the news that it might not be a bad idea to introduce peanuts to kids at infant stage. Is that correct, Doctor?
That is right. And so not only is it not a bad idea, it's a very good idea. So, you know, until last year, we didn't really have a lot of studies to show this, but last year they did a big study and looked at kids who were really high risk for developing food allergy, and they found out that not only did it not hurt them to get peanut early, and in this group we're talking kids as young as 4 months of age, but it protected them. It had an 80% reduction in the development of peanut allergy if they started it between 4 and 11 months of age.
Wow, you got to start them young.
But now,
you got to start them young.
But yeah. What if they do, you know, are some of these inborn? I mean, people who have a peanut allergy, what if you give your infant some peanuts? Are there signs to look for that they're having
there
some kind of reaction?
Because you can be allergic by 4 months of age, without a doubt. Now, if your child is very high risk, and that means either having very bad eczema, which is a skin disorder, an allergic skin disorder, or if your child has an egg allergy, you should definitely be tested before you introduce the peanut. But for kids who don't have those...
how do you know if they have an egg allergy? Because they haven't really started solid food yet.
That would be if they're, you know, if they're like 6 months of age and they've tried scrambled eggs.
Oh, okay.
So you would only know if they'd already had, so they have a known allergy. But for the other kids, if you have a child who's completely healthy, doesn't have eczema, we are recommending introducing it as young as 6 months to help protect them.
You have to. And Doc, what is the peanut allergy? We know about the EpiPens if they have an episode, but what is it?
Well, the peanut allergy is, so when you eat a food, your immune system should ignore it because food is meant to be in our body. But people who have an allergy, their immune system sees it as sort of something it should attack, as some sort of foreign protein. It makes this allergic antibody called IgE, and it sets off this whole cascade of an allergic reaction, which can be as simple as a rash on your face, but as severe as, you know, throat closing or wheezing or not being able to breathe or anaphylactic shock. So it's your body overreacting to something that is benign and it should ignore. And any of those things can happen in an allergic reaction.
And that's why you need the EpiPen, which, Pete, you said off the air, they're up to like, what, $300 now?
Or even more, yeah.
And yeah, they're up to $600 actually.
$600.
They can be, depending on your insurance coverage. If you have a child or, you know, an adult with a life-threatening food allergy, the only thing that can save your life is this EpiPen, which is epinephrine, which is adrenaline in a syringe. And it is life-saving in food allergic reactions. So anyone with a known allergy really must carry them at all times because, as you mentioned, some people are just so sensitive that even small cross-contamination can trigger a severe reaction.
And they expire, right?
They do in about a year or so. So they're, you know,
so every year, $600, even if you don't use it. You have
correct.
To buy a new one.
Yeah, but you got to have your, it's life-saving.
Yeah.
It is life-saving. It's tough. And, you know, hopefully, you know, there's going to be, right now we mentioned EpiPen. There's some other devices that are coming on the market this year, something called AviQ, and we're expecting more devices. So maybe with some competition, the prices will come down.
That's hopeful.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. A couple other questions while we have you. We are talking to Dr. Rachel Story, a pediatric food allergy, asthma, and immunology expert for the North Shore University Health System. For more info, you can go to northshore.org. I breastfed my babies. Michael got it for about a year. Dylan got teeth quicker, so I quit at about 7 months. And then made the switch to cow's milk. Now, I know that there were a lot of babies that were allergic to formula and needed soy. How did that happen all of a sudden?
You know, we think that's just part of this whole increase in allergies and soy
and gluten too.
One of the first foods you're going to have. Gluten. You can be allergic to gluten. We're seeing more. There's more celiac, which is a little bit different. It's not life threatening. It can make you very, very ill, and you have to completely avoid it. But it wouldn't cause an anaphylactic reaction. But the reason that you see the dairy allergy first is just because it's usually one of the first foods introduced.
That makes sense.
To babies. Yeah. And it is the most common food allergy in children.
Doctor, can you explain something to people that are listening right now that gluten-free is not a diet plan? Because people think gluten-free, oh, I'm going to go gluten-free. Suddenly they're going to lose weight.
Well, people, I do know people, friends of mine who say, you know, gluten, if you have a reaction to gluten, it causes inflammation. And they're thinking that's why they have put on weight. But that's... They can lose weight if they go gluten-free, but that's not really the whole deal, correct, Doctor?
That's true. You know, it really depends on what you replace it with. So gluten-free, if you replace it with a lot of rice and corn-based similar foods that have the same calorie content and glycemic levels, it's really not going to make a difference. But I have seen some people, if they go gluten-free and just go to a really whole foods-based approach, eating a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables and lean proteins, they will lose weight. So it depends on what they go to. But you can keep gluten in your diet and still shift to mostly a whole foods-based approach and still lose the weight.
It is so nice to talk to you to clear this up, because I did hear this in the news, like, oh, go ahead and give your baby peanut butter when they're very young. And I was like, wow, when did that change? But so the whole deal is to introduce the body to something to make your immune system stronger. Is that the gist of it?
Yeah, it's kind of the gist is that if it's introduced early and regularly, your immune system doesn't see it as a foreign protein, is what we think how it works. And so the only thing I would like to caution people is to remember that you shouldn't give whole nuts to children under the age of 5 because they can choke on them. And for infants, they could choke on peanut butter. So if you're giving them peanut butter, you need to actually water it down and maybe add it to like their applesauce or something like that. But really, everyone should check with their pediatrician so that they would know if their child should be introduced at home or if they need some testing first or if it should be done in a doctor's office. Mm-hmm. So you're going in pretty frequently at those early appointments with your pediatrician. So be sure to ask them the best approach for your child.
All right, and I'm going to ask you one final question before we let you go.
Sure.
As I mentioned, I have a 14 and 17-year-old. They're both boys, and our pediatrician is a female. And I keep saying, you know, you can switch to a regular doctor pretty soon. And they're like, no, we're good. We've been with Dr. Franco since we were born. We're good. Do I have to switch to a regular GP, or can I stay? How long can you stay with your pediatrician?
You can usually stay with your pediatrician through college now. So if your kids are happy and comfortable with the pediatrician, most pediatricians will take care of them through college. And then at that point, they need to go to, you know, an internist or family doctor.
How about that? Because everybody's saying, boy, isn't it time you take your kids to...
Whatever they're comfortable with, it's fine.
Exactly. And if you've established a relationship for 18 years or 17 years or 14 years, you know, it can be hard to change. And so sometimes it's best to keep them with a doctor who's known them during these critical years. And so, most pediatricians will see them through college and then give them a good recommendation of someone who might be a good fit for them.
All right.
She knows your kids.
Everybody stop teasing my kids.
Why do people do that? They make you feel bad about something.
Because
it's like, hey, don't worry about it. It's my kid's doctor. They like it.
But people think they know everything that there is to know when they're a parent.
Yeah.
That's true.
I bet you see that. And obviously, you know, you don't want to comment too much, but there are parents that think they have all the answers. And you know what? As parents, we have a lot to learn every single day.
And I would say, you know, most parents just want the best for their kids, and they're very willing to listen. And, you know, they gather information from lots of sources, which we all do now. But, you know, everyone that I see really just wants the best for their kids.
That's the bottom line. Love them. Absolutely. And, you know, really, that's the biggest one. Love them and feed them every day.
That's right. Put some peanut butter in early.
Yep.
Thank you so much for clearing this up. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Dr. Rachel Story, pediatric food allergy, asthma, and immunology expert for the North Shore University Health System. You can find out more at northshore.org. It's Pete McMurray in for Bill Leff, and it's me, Wendy Snyder, back in a flash, 720 WGN. Everybody loves you, Pete McMurray.
Something that you brought up in the last segment, drinking out of a garden hose. No one does that anymore. That's a lost art right there.
I was going to say I do it because I like to garden in the summer, but usually I'm drinking out of my glass that has vodka and tonic in it while I'm gardening.
Really? So you're drinking vodka as you're gardening. I love that.
But I would drink out of a garden hose.
But think about that. Germs in the garden hose, your immune system. There was something about us when we grew up that, you know, we were exposed to germs all the time. I never got sick growing up. I never get sick now, ever. Maybe I'll get a cold once in a while. When I filled in for Cochran a few weeks ago, I had a bad head cold for some reason, but I don't get sick. I never get the flu.
I didn't get sick as a kid. I had a lot of earaches. I don't know why, but I feel like I had a lot of earaches. And not a lot, because I never got the tubes put in my ear. Mm-hmm. But, you know, think about it. A drinking fountain is no cleaner. It's probably worse than a garden hose.
Right.
I have kids, and I don't want to say I don't like other people's kids, but I like my kids better than other people's kids.
Yeah.
I wasn't that type of mom that'd be like, oh, the neighbor's kid's over. Oh, Billy, your nose is running. Let me wipe your nose. I'm not that kind of person.
Okay.
I really only like to change my kids' diapers.
Mm.
I you can tell I didn't babysit very often.
I can see that.
So to me, I don't like using a public drinking fountain because I don't know what kid has sucked on the spigot.
I drink out of a public drinking fountain.
I'd rather drink out of the garden hose.
Well, think about it. They say that your desk area, your keyboard and your desk are the dirtiest things, has the most bacteria. How about the door handle when you walk into Tribune Tower? Are you constantly cleaning your hands? Are you a germaphobe like Andrea Darlis?
No.
She has the wipes. She has the sanitation stuff.
And I bet she gets sick more than the most of us.
I don't know.
I wash my hands leaving here, and I'm not saying anything against Steve Cochran. It's just that I happen to follow him and sit here.
Right.
And it is when I wash my hands after I get off the air here, my hands are filthy. I don't know what happens in the studio on the weekend. But yes, I will show you if you want later.
No.
It's like just from touching the same buttons and the phones and the keyboard, there is definite dirt that comes off my hands. And I just washed them before the second half of the show.
Okay.
So I'll wash them again in 2 hours. I've only been here. I haven't done anything. And they'll be filthy.
Well, there's people that are overly cautious, that have the hand sanitizer.
You don't do that? You seem the type.
They can't pump gas. No, I mean, I'll wash my hands before I eat, but I washed my hands this morning before I left. I don't think I've washed my hands since. I worked out today. I took a shower. Okay.
All right. So that counts as washing your hands,
sure,
I guess.
But that's it.
I'm not overly...
But that's the problem nowadays, because we're lowering our immune system. She's right. Like the doctor said, everything is too clean now.
Well, they used to say cleanliness is next to godliness, but Sue, you think differently?
Yeah.
Hi, Sue.
Oh, hi, Wendy.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. I was just listening. You know, I'm a nurse, and it's bad because I've been a nurse for over 40 years. And when I love when I hear people talking about how they clean, you know, they wash their hands when they go to the bathroom, and then they walk out the door, and then they wipe their hands again, and then they do this and that and that and that and that. And, you know, they do it to their little kids, and then they wonder why their kids always get sick. It's because they never allow their kids to develop any immunity.
See?
You know?
You're right.
40 years in the business.
Huh?
You're 40 years in the business, and you're confirming that.
Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous. Why do they do that? Not that my kids ran around like pigs, but, you know, if they bled, I cleaned it with that and put it with a little peroxide and put a Band-Aid on it. I didn't take them to the doctor. I didn't go to the ER. You know when a sore is a sore, but parents are way over the top today, in my opinion, and that's just mine, and people may disagree with me, but I think we need to get down to the real world, because we all got scrapes when we were kids. We all bit our tongue and, you know, did everything, and we all survived, and you know, when your body learns to deal with an injury of some sort, a little scrape or something, and heals it on its own, well, what happens then is your body's building up its own stores and immunity.
Right.
And learning how to take care of itself. So I just wish people would not run to the doctor constantly. It's a waste of money, effort, and everybody's time.
And it scares the kid running to the doctor, too.
Yes.
It does. Oh. Like,
and the kid becomes
a
hypochondriac, just like the mother. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's a park. I live in a huge apartment complex, and there's a park, and there's a lot of little kids that, this is like 700 buildings, apartments or something. Anyway, and these little kids, the minute they fall, their mothers are running over and carrying them into the house. And I'm like, really? Take a Kleenex in your pocket, wipe it, and then go in the house. But don't panic the kid. They panic the kids, and it just seems to build and build and build all this anxiety over a drop of blood.
Well, thank God I have my husband, because when Michael, who's now 17, went down the slide for the first time, I kept going with him. And Jim finally was like, Wendy, could you let him go down the slide by himself? Well, what if he falls? But just that one time.
You want him to fall.
I guess you do.
Right. He'll figure it out.
That's true. Sue, thank you for your advice and for 40 years of service. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You as well.
Hi,
see?
Sue.
Go ahead, and I won't wash my hands now when
that
I leave the
sense.
Studio.
Yes.
Quick break. News time coming up next with Steve Bertrand, 720 WGN. Sweet, Bertrand. Thank you so much. It's Wendy Snyder here. Pete McMurray is sitting in for Bill Leff, who returns tomorrow, by the way.
Hi, Steve.
Hello, peeps.
Peeps?
I heard that your son was in line on Saturday morning, and he got a ticket.
He did, yeah.
He's getting more press than Steve Bertrand. Okay. Noah Bertrand is getting more press.
He's the one who got up at 4:30 in the morning to do it, so.
Has anyone ever seen a sitting president in real life? Because I would like to be there.
Like to talk to him?
Oh, I have
no,
several
just
times.
To see a president? How about a motorcade? Give me a motorcade, anything.
I've
like
seen
to
that.
See a sitting president. Really?
Yeah, I've been on, like, the Stevenson where there's been some closures because of a motorcade going by. It was pretty cool. Bertrand's actually, you know, up close and personal with many presidents.
I mean, there was a time in the Reagan administration, I remember when Vice President Bush was just, you know, just hanging out in the ballroom. I mean, it was a very different era when you could get closer to these guys.
And who have you seen besides
Reagan? I did not see George W. Bush, but I've seen everyone since Reagan, or since Carter, actually.
Really?
Yeah, sure.
That's a thrill,
impressive.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's well, you know what? And that's the thing. I don't care if you agree with a president or not. And that's why I'm so happy Noah's going down, because it's to lay your eyes on someone while they are in office.
Right.
I think it's a pretty impressive thing.
I would be so proud of my son if he did that, as I'm sure you are, Steve. I heard it all across the newscasts over the weekend here on GN, Noah Bertrand, and I'm like, I know his son's name is Noah. There can't be another one.
It's got to be him.
But what a cool thing. A 19-year-old kid, a freshman at college, he and his buddies went down. Their former president was from Chicago. He's going to be doing his last speech here in Chicago. I think that's really admirable of him to do that. It's
yeah,
shocking.
And it's
it is. It well, is kind of shocking.
Honestly, I didn't think it was going to happen. I mean, he told me he was going to do it. I'm like, yeah, that alarm's going to go off. You guys aren't going to get up. But, you know, he's with a couple of friends, and they were committed to it, and they did it. So, but I think it's great just the long. There were hundreds of people who didn't get close to tickets, maybe thousands. And, you know, when everything's so negative and cynical and all of that, I just think it's great that people felt so strongly to come down early in the morning, wait in the cold,
right,
and try to see this guy.
Who's got time for that? Saturday morning? I turned on...
What were you doing at 5 o'clock on Saturday morning?
Well, I turned on NBC at 6:30, and I'm watching, and at 10 to 7, they made the announcement, if you're not in line right now, do not bother driving downtown. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, but that you were too late. If you really wanted
know,
it, you would have been there at 4.
I didn't
4.
Want it, but I wanted somebody to give me a ticket. I've seen the Obama.
You've
the
been
president.
On radio too long.
Well, I fully admit I'm not going to get in line because I'm lazy. Okay, and my son had basketball, and you got to let the dog out, and there's a lot of
and
stuff going
no
on.
There's no easy way to get to McCormick.
No,
Place.
It's the worst. And why McCormick Place and not the United Center, Steve?
Well, there's a Hawks game tomorrow night, and I was talking to one of the guys who manages the United Center, and they didn't know if he was the president was flexible in his time or. Or not, you know, at McCormick Place is where he gave his second inaugural or second acceptance speech when he won in 2012. It's quasi-government run. I don't know why one or the other.
Well, where does he come in? Do they have grandstands set up? What happens?
It's at the Erie Crown, right before I think Brian Ferry's opening for him and.
Wait a second. Hold on. Brian Ferry.
That's who I remember playing the Erie Crown all the time. I don't know the answer to that as far as where it is or what the theater is.
I don't know that they've figured it out yet until they figured out how many tickets they gave away, right?
Well, you're probably right.
I wish for my son's sake that the tickets had seats on them, but they don't. They're all general admission tickets.
Oh, man. Why are they doing that? So people have to get in line to show up so they can get a good seat.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, how do you do how do you do reserve seats for something like that?
Well, you could set up, you could set up a theater in there, assign the seats. I don't know. I don't know what's inside McCormick Place. I don't know, you know, if they have a theater capacity like that or.
I'll bet everybody's going to be standing.
Oh, you think?
That would be brutal. I've been to the car show many times, so I'm just assuming.
Maybe he's
going to
roll in
a
Rolls Royce or something, and Michelle will be laying on the hood.
He's kicking off the car show. Maybe that's part of it. He's in one of those rotating circular
right,
things.
Like the giant record album?
Right.
I wouldn't imagine there's seats. I would bet it would be standing. I don't know. I don't know the setup they have there, but it just seemed like a weird location.
Well, I see his helicopter tomorrow, Steve.
I would, if you're under it, you will. Yes.
Okay.
Probably.
I'm in the flight path.
Are you?
I live near Wrigley, so I see the helicopter.
Down the lake?
Yeah.
What time is the speech tomorrow?
I think it's 7 o'clock.
Wow. Tomorrow night? See, I'm busy on Tuesdays.
Dude.
Got to pick up my son from basketball. I'd love to be there.
You couldn't have another parent take him home if you got tickets to see the sitting president?
One of my parents' favorite stories, when John F. Kennedy was running for president, he came to Peoria and drove down Western Avenue in Peoria, and they stood out in front of their house as the presidential motorcade went by, and they just waved at JFK.
I would have done that too.
Right. But all they had to do was walk out in the front yard, and the president just drove by. We don't see that anymore. That doesn't happen.
He was looking for Detweiler Park, right?
Is that a Peoria joke?
Yes, that is a Peoria joke.
All right, you and the 18 people who are familiar with it just thought that was hysterical.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, not listener, well, listener Kevin, not producer Kevin. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing? You asked about motorcades, and I remember when I worked at the Board of Trade in the 80s, George H.W. Bush came by, and I just happened to be in my office overlooking LaSalle when the motorcade took off north, and it was just this line of black SUVs running down a deserted LaSalle Street. It was pretty impressive.
Nice.
Pretty cool. I don't know why. I mean, even when the Cubs parade was going by the Allstate Showcase studio, I'm like, oh, my God, look, there's Rizzo. And I got so excited. I'm not even a Cubs fan, but it's just,
right.
It's
well, you don't
cool.
see these people right in front of you on a daily basis, so it is kind of cool.
And then again, they had the, I was on another high-rise overlooking Lake Michigan when Clinton's helicopter entourage took off from MIGS and on its way to O'Hare. And there was like four or five choppers going right by us. So that was kind of nice, too.
Hmm. Pretty cool.
You never know. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Kevin. I assume that Kevin didn't go at Saturday morning to get tickets for...
No.
That's a lot to ask. That is a true fan.
How many tickets did they give away?
That I don't know the answer to either. Maybe
Steve?
We should...
One for every person who got one, Peter.
What is the total number?
I don't know the number.
Okay.
You got a little computer there. Somebody signed you in. Why don't you do a little work during the commercial break?
Do I really have to do that? I didn't think I'd have to work. I just sit in Andrea's seat right here. This is nice. All right.
All right. And Bill will be back in that seat tomorrow. In the meantime, it's Pete McMurray. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. Wendy Snyder here along with Pete McMurray. He's sitting in for Bill Leff, who will be back tomorrow. At least he's scheduled to be back tomorrow.
I am on StubHub right now, and I'm typing in Obama speech, Obama tickets. I don't see anything.
You can't sell them.
Well, I heard that they were online for $2,000.
Oh, yeah, they're going for big money.
Yeah, but listen, people, if you're listening right now...
Where are they, though? I'm trying to look it up. I don't see anything.
Yeah, but they're not real. I don't trust these people.
Like Craigslist and places like that.
The Better Business Bureau just issued a statement saying, do not buy them. Seriously,
I think they quoted Greg Brady and they said, caveat emptor.
I mean, somebody could just photocopy what they have. Don't buy them. If you didn't... Get up at the crack of dawn on Saturday to get your own ticket. You don't deserve to be there.
And don't sell them. If you got a ticket in replacement of someone who else was standing in line behind you, have a little respect for them and don't sell it to someone else.
I'm telling you, I'm typing it in everywhere, and I don't see the tickets for sale.
Well, because they're not real tickets.
I can hook you up with one, Pete.
You got a guy?
I got a guy. He's 19. He's going to college. No. He's not selling.
And we can't find any information about how many tickets were given away. You said a texter texted
texter some... said 8,000, Steve.
I've heard that number.
Well, what did I say off the air? I said if Steve Bertrand doesn't know, how does a listener know? But evidently,
no, I mean,
trust the listener more.
Okay, I see a ticket on Craigslist for the farewell address tomorrow for $600.
Just one ticket?
One ticket for $600.
That's more than a Cubs game.
Here's another one for $500, one for $999. Okay.
I don't trust these people selling it.
There's one on sale for $200 and one for $2,000.
okay, the $200 one's going to go, and it's going to be a photocopied picture of it or something.
Have you guys ever bought tickets on Craigslist?
No.
I buy cup tickets on Craigslist all the time.
You do?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I bought a drum kit on Craigslist. That's the only thing I bought, and I had to drive out to Skokie to look at it.
Okay.
And it
Did
was
you go
totally
alone?
Worth. No, I made Jimmy Mack go with me.
And did you buy it?
Yeah, it was awesome.
I love
a full drum kit, but it was very far, and we needed a drum kit. We didn't need one, but one of my sons wanted one. And I don't know, like something like that, you'd look, you see if it's broken. A couch, you don't know, you know, what's happened on that couch before. So unless you're going to get it like cleaned, I don't know that I'd want a couch. Table, maybe I'd get that.
I sell everything on Craigslist. Everything.
Your brightly colored pants?
No pants, but couches. We redid our kitchen. I sold the entire thing. Cabinets, sink, faucet, everything.
And people bought that?
Oh, yeah. People would rentals. Yeah, absolutely.
So then they have to come over. Do you meet them at an undisclosed location?
Come to my house. Pick it up. Yeah.
They know you right away because you go, hey, buddy, come in.
What's going on, buddy? Come on in. Get this stuff out of my house.
Really?
95% of the people on Craigslist are normal. It's that 5% that give it a bad name.
Those are all the ones I've met.
All the tickets. They're right in front of me right now. There's tickets for $5,000 for this address tomorrow. From $300 to $5,000.
We should call that person for $5,000. Do you think they're really going to let... Who's going to pay $5,000 for that?
Unfortunately, I can no longer attend President Obama's farewell address.
So give me $5,000.
I can meet you in River North for $5,000 or best offer. Cash only.
Well, duh. That is so not true. Hi, Harold. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Have you seen a standing or sitting president? Which is it? Which is the correct term?
Sitting president.
I wish I had the opportunity to see this one. That would be great.
$5,000. Do you have it? Pete's got a ticket for you.
I got a guy.
I got it. I guess there was three times I kind of, you might say I came close within, you know, I don't know. I'll describe it. You'll know the distance. Carter, when he was in office, it was on the news. He was going to have a little parade. He had a parade. He was in town, and it was in Bridgeport. And there was a motorcade, and it went down 31st Street. And somewhere before he got to our block, where we lived on Union, he got out on Union Avenue, and he got out of his car and started walking and shaking hands with people. And he was within 5 or 6 feet of me. And we could not believe the president of the United States. You know,
it's pretty cool.
Boy, times have changed, haven't they?
Yes.
Yeah. It was, and that was just a few feet. Like I said, I mean, literally, you know, no more than 5 or 6 feet. I mean, it was a few people between me and him, and he walked by and was shaking everybody's hands that he could reach, and that was it. I was like, holy cow.
Damn, that's pretty cool.
Another time was, there were three. And another time was Obama, maybe about 4 years ago. I was on the lakefront riding my bike, and I was wondering what happened. All the police were stomping us, all the bike riders. And we were bunched up, about 30, 40 bike people. And we thought, maybe it was a car accident or something like that. And all of a sudden, you know, within about 5 minutes or so, helicopter comes flying overhead. It's one of those big helicopters that the Marines use. And somewhere between a half block and a block away, landed in the grass over right off the lakefront. And landed there, and we're like, that is Marine One. That is, because I forgot that Obama was going to be in town. And then, so I was like, holy cow, he's within a block of us.
And then the third one?
So the third one was in the middle there, and this one is kind of hilarious.
It better be funny now, Harold.
I went to the Home Depot on North Avenue.
And the president was at the Home Depot on North Avenue?
No. Let me finish off. I went there one time, and I'm always on foot, you know, so I'm on foot and, you know, take the bus or whatever. But, you know, I took the bus down to North Avenue and walked down to the Home Depot one day. And as I walked, there was, and don't cut me off or not until I get.
All right. Well, you got to hurry up then. We got news to do and stuff.
There was a bunch of prostitutes out there, and they were, you know,
working,
hawking their wares, you might say. And I just, you know, and I just said, oh, that's okay. And I went to Home Depot and I got what I needed for some shelves. And the next day I said, oh, I'm missing this. I should have got that. So I went back, and as I walk back, I'm walking down North Avenue. I walk and I'm like, what's up? There was like 20 of them.
I'm guessing a Bill Clinton sighting here.
I'm waiting for it.
There was none of them. None of them, you know, so one day there's 20 and today there's none. And as I walk by, I walk over the bridge, there's a boat in the water with a blue police light flashing. And I go, oh, what happened? Maybe somebody got hurt or somebody fell in the water or something. And they, you know, whatever. All those prostitutes are all gone. It's weird because they weren't there yet.
All right, get to the end of your story.
Yeah, you
got to
tell us who you met.
As I get across the bridge, I go across. All of a sudden, police car goes by. Another police car.
Who's in it?
An SUV. An SUV, then an ambulance, and then a whole motorcade, and it went on for like 15, 20 minutes.
Like this conversation.
Oh, the president's down. It was Clinton.
Harold, I'm hanging up. Who was it?
It was Clinton.
Okay. Thanks for that. All right. Wow.
Good to know. Thank you, Harold.
I don't understand why he had to tell us that he was at the Home Depot the day before.
Maybe he works at
Home
Depot.
Well, there's stuff that I forgot that I had to get back.
Harold's going to be appearing with Garrison Keillor at a story
oh,
night.
Oh, my God. Wow. We both have short attention spans. He lost us halfway through.
That was a long story.
You know, that's the busiest Home Depot in the United States.
We got to do this very quickly, but let's. Hi, listener Bill. We got a minute here, so roll.
Hi there. Oh, okay, real quick.
We had a Home Depot?
No. I was here at the airport in Quincy back when Nixon was running for president, and I was working for a phone company, so we were doing some work for it, and I got to see him. Later, when I worked in Springfield, who came there? I did run into Mr. and Mrs. Reagan down in McLean, Illinois. I got to shake hands with both of them.
That's cool.
They're making a campaign stop. And then also when I was working in Springfield, Jimmy Carter came to give a little speech at the State Capitol building. So I walked over there. I was going to observe and... This limousine pulled up, and Jimmy got out. He walked right over to me and my boss and said, "Hi, I'm Jimmy Carter." Typical Jimmy. And let's see.
Nixon, Carter, Reagan. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, there was I can't even think of the other. Ford. I saw Ford in Springfield also.
But, damn. Ford.
Giving a speech in front of Lincoln's home. And I think that's it, so.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing.
Well, thank you.
That's quite a memorable moment, five of them. And, Catherine, finally, you got to sing for one of the presidents?
I did when President Bush marched for the St. Patrick's Day Parade. The Dailies had a little reception for him afterwards, and the mayor asked me to sing for him, sing for the little party. So it was great. It was only about 40 people. And when Bush walked into the room, he looked around and he said, "Can I ask, did anyone here vote for me?"
That's a great line.
What did you sing?
Oh, it's a song called My Grandfather's Immigrant Eyes.
Can you give us a little of it?
Old Ellis Island was swarming with this like a scene from a costume ball decked out in the colors of Europe. On fire with the hope of it all. My father's own father stood huddled with the tired and hungry and scared turn of the century pilgrims bound by the hopes that they share. Sometimes when I look in my grandfather's immigrant eyes, I see that day reflected. I can't hold my feelings inside. I see him starting with nothing and working hard all of his life. Don't take it for granted, say grandfather's immigrant eyes.
I would vote for you,
impressive.
Catherine. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, you too. Bye.
On cue.
I
That's
love
impressive.
It. She wanted to sing. Don't make me sing. Don't
Please,
make
don't
me
do
sing.
It. On the radio, okay.
Quick break. We're back with news. It's Pete McMurray in for Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. All right, Bill Leff returns tomorrow. It is me, Wendy Snyder, and it is Pete McMurray, the love of everyone's life. You're getting so many complimentary
it's nice.
Texts.
It's great to be back at WGN. Yes.
Well.
It really is.
You're back on a fill-in basis right now. You're the
it's
one
great
who
to be
left.
Back at a fill-in basis.
It's good that you're back, Pete. I've
you.
Always enjoyed your work, and I enjoy saying, hey, buddy.
Thank you.
Can I share a story with you?
Yeah.
I believe this is out of Maryland, and it happened yesterday. A man was taken into custody on Sunday following an hours-long standoff with police. It began when a family member took a bite from his grilled cheese sandwich. Now, I like a good grilled cheese.
Uh-huh.
I've been told I make the best grilled cheese, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
One of my specialties. But this incident began around 5 p.m. In the 7100 block of North Point Road in Dundalk, Maryland. The man was eating with his wife and daughter, and he became angry when one of them took a bite from his sandwich.
I can see that.
I can, too. I have two teenage boys, and I'm telling you, when one, like if Jim or I grab something off their plate, they're like, what are you doing? I don't like when people touch my food. I really don't.
My wife eats off my plate all the time.
Do you put your hands up to block your
plates? No, I'm used
to
it.
It's your wife.
So I'm grabbing more food now. Yes. I mean, you just kind of give in after so many years. 15 years of marriage. She's been eating off my plate ever since I've known her. That's her thing.
But that's different. Like brothers, that would bother me. This is, you know, this is a guy who has his wife and his daughter, and one of them, you don't take a bite out of someone's sandwich. It's one thing if you grab a French fry, you can't pick up someone else's half a sandwich and take a bite. That to me is, it's not allowed.
So who took the bite? Was it the daughter or the wife?
I don't know, but it's not clear at this point. Either the wife or the daughter took a bite of his grilled cheese sandwich. The man then fired a shot inside the house.
What?
The wife and daughter fled. That's a good idea.
He pulled out a gun?
Yeah, and the man began a standoff with police. It did end around 8:30 p.m. He peacefully surrendered. Police intend to charge the man. No one was injured in this altercation.
Mm-hmm.
But someone took a bite of his grilled cheese sandwich.
I have many problems with this story. Number one, you know it goes deeper if he's pulling out a gun because of a grilled cheese sandwich. But number two, why is he having grilled cheese for dinner?
Yeah, that's kind of a lunch thing.
Yeah. Or a snack.
That's a good point. Well, there are some times that we have nothing in the house and we always have American cheese and always have bread. So,
but
hey,
for dinner, you're going to order out.
Sometimes, you know, you don't want to order out. I've made grilled cheese for dinner.
I've as long as I've been married, we've never had grilled cheese for dinner. Frozen pizza, always a go-to.
What if you don't have a frozen pizza?
Oh, we always have frozen pizza. Always.
What's your go-to brand?
Tombstone.
I like the Tombstone myself.
Yes. But Jack's was on sale at 3 for $10.
Yeah, those are really cheap. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they're good. They're not a Tombstone. And I
have an 11-year-old. He just smells pizza. He wants to eat it. It doesn't matter what it is.
Is he still all cheese?
He does sausage now and pepperoni.
Isn't that funny how that's a rite of passage?
Right.
You start out with the cheese pizza, and then you could add a little pepperoni, maybe a little sausage.
It's nice.
But now I like junk on it. I like sausage, mushroom, green pepper, onion. I like all that.
Red pepper. Tons of red pepper on my pie.
Too sweet for me.
Love it.
Like green pepper better. But that's what makes this world go around. I just feel like it's okay if you take if there's like French fries, there's more than one. So you could maybe grab a French fry off of somebody's plate. But wouldn't you be mad if somebody took your sandwich and
It would drive me crazy.
Yeah.
Drive me nuts.
I don't have a gun, so I wouldn't pull out the gun and shoot at the ceiling.
When you get together with your family, are people eating off your plate? Your two boys, your husband?
No, usually Michael will grab stuff off of Dylan's plate. Michael's the oldest. I usually serve them first and eat at the counter. Because I'm so sick of boys. I don't even want to sit with them anymore.
What is the proper etiquette with eating off someone's plate? Do you have to ask first or you can grab it if you know the person?
I don't think you can grab it.
Around when we get together for Thanksgiving, I'll eat off my brother's plate just to
upset
him.
Why? Just to bug him?
Yeah.
All right. Well, right
there. I'll grab his food.
But see, you grew up with how many kids in the family?
There's 12 children, 7 brothers. But the ones that are closest to me, I'll eat off their plate just to kind of get it going.
I do not take food off of other people's plate. Those are fighting words.
What about your kids? When they were growing up, you're eating pizza off their plate. Hey, give me a bite of that.
No. I would wait till if they didn't finish it, but my kids always finish their food.
Charlie, you done with your chicken nuggets? How about giving Dad a bite? A little something.
Jim does that. Moms don't ask that.
Really?
I don't ask for their stuff.
Well, they're going to give it to you. Moms get everything. Dads get left out.
Moms don't get everything.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Moms get everything.
Do you have some go-to recipes? Because I really do make a darn good grilled cheese. One to shoot over.
Turkey tacos, big go-to in our house.
Turkey
tacos.
Okay.
So instead of ground beef, you're grabbing ground turkey. Yeah.
All right, that's good.
Chicken and rice, it's a big go-to. Either baked chicken or there's this Lebanese dish that's very easy to make. You boil chicken. I mean,
sounds yummy. Anytime
you boil meat, you boil a flavor out of it, of course. But then you add cinnamon and you put the rice in it and you eat it. You got to debone the chicken. That's a go-to.
You got to wait till it cools off. How many times have you burned your fingers trying
all the time.
Yep.
I hate that. It drives me crazy. Go-to dishes. Let me think.
I made one last night.
What is it?
When's the last time you had a Sloppy Joe?
Oh, I love Sloppy Joe.
How about it? Kevin, did you grow up eating Manwich?
I love Manwich sandwich.
And I'm still shocked that you've never done a grilled cheese night, like grilled cheese and tomato soup?
No.
Oh, it's the best.
You don't have to do tomato soup with a grilled
cheese. Yeah, but if you're doing the grilled cheese, you might as well do the tomato
soup.
Why
do those two go together?
I don't know. I don't.
Because I'm not dipping, I'm just drinking the tomato soup.
I don't really like tomato soup that much.
I like it.
It's okay.
It's fine.
I'd rather have chicken noodle.
Right.
Give me something in my soup.
Tastes better, but are you eating chicken noodle with the grilled cheese?
You could. Mm. Who says it has to be tomato?
I don't know, but that's the way it's always been.
Well, I made Manwich last night, and I haven't done it in a while, but that used to be like once a month, I guess, when the kids were little. I forgot how good a Manwich was.
It's so good. Yeah.
And I God love my mother-in-law. She makes like homemade Sloppy Joe mix, like with cinnamon and ketchup, and she puts her little vinegar. She does her own spices. Give me Manwich any day.
Why would you do that if you have Manwich?
I don't know. I don't know, Pete.
With the bun, oh, it's so good. Or the white bread. For some reason, you got to eat it with white bread.
Or the leftovers you could put over Fritos.
I had Fritos in my chili last night. I did. They smell like feet, but they taste so
good. They do smell like a dog's foot.
I love it. I love Fritos.
All right. Well, that's all I wanted to know. Okay. And this, everybody's okay, but I just don't think it's okay to grab a sandwich off of someone's plate. Some individual things like potato chips or French fries, maybe if you have green beans on your plate, you could maybe grab one. But
I don't see people grabbing vegetables, but the potato chip, I think, is fair game if you have the big potato chip bowl.
I would grab a green bean. I love green beans.
French fries, I think, are okay if you're intimate with the person.
Don't grab a sandwich, though, or a gun might go off.
That's a terrible story.
It is
a
but everybody's okay. 312-981-7200. Bill Leff returns tomorrow in his place today. Pete McMurray. I'm Wendy Snyder, 720 WGM. All right, Pete McMurray is sitting in for Bill Leff. Somebody has just texted Bill and Pete would be a good show together. No? So maybe I'll take tomorrow off.
Take off vacation. I'm free. 708 area code. There's a new restaurant coming to downtown Brookfield on Grand Avenue called Cheesy's. Grilled cheese sandwiches and soup. Thank you, Beth.
That's not even new. There's one in Lincoln Park.
They're opening one in LaGrange, too.
I don't understand the grilled cheese sandwich.
Oh, my God. I make the best grilled sandwich ever.
I don't understand it. Why don't you put ham in there or turkey?
You can.
Yeah.
But the cheese and the bread, that doesn't excite me at all.
It has to be golden brown.
Well, we had a caller earlier. He didn't want to go on the air, but he mentioned it became popular for Lent. When you can't have the meat, you get the tomato.
Oh, God, don't get me going. My mother still doesn't eat meat on Fridays.
Well, she has to pray for you. she doesn't eat meat. She's a good Catholic.
Grilled cheese, tuna casserole, the fried salmon patties. What else?
What are fried salmon patties?
Oh, it was the worst. Our house just stunk.
I am so sick. I can't eat tuna anymore, and we're not even as good a Catholics as your mom is.
Uh-huh.
But you'd have that tuna casserole with the elbow macaroni and the peas and the cream of mushroom soup
every
the melted Kraft singles that would stay in square form.
Every single Friday. Every Friday.
I can't eat tuna anymore because of that.
I love tuna, and I haven't had that tuna casserole in 20 years, and now I want it. It's so easy to make. So you put tuna with the noodles, right?
You cook the noodles first.
Yeah.
Cream of mushroom soup.
And that's it. You just mix it up.
Yeah, it sucks.
Do you have to bake it?
I don't even remember. You have to bake it.
But I could eat tuna every single day of my life. You get the bag of tuna, you put the relish inside, you mix it up, you eat it. Very simple.
That's it? Just relish?
Just relish.
No Miracle Whip or mayonnaise?
Don't need it. Everything's a numbers game, Wendy.
You can do ham or salami in your grilled cheese.
I like that. That excites me. I can do that.
What's wrong with just a grilled cheese?
It's boring, especially for dinner. So what do you
expect for dinner? Wait. Like, you know, coq au vin?
Well, my go-to would be, of course, pizza. I'd order out before I'd make grilled cheese. I think it's funny that your boys are like, okay, we're having grilled cheese. But the Sloppy Joe thing last night, I like that.
I'm telling
that.
You, there's nothing. You know, I said my mother-in-law makes her own homemade batch of Sloppy Joes. And all the work, I don't know why she does it, but someone says homemade Sloppy Joes, ketchup, mustard, vinegar, brown sugar, and spices is far better than Manwich.
Too much work.
I don't think it's better
either. I disagree. I'm with you. Yeah, Manwich sandwich. No one's answered the question, why the grilled cheese with the tomato soup? Where did that originate?
I don't know. Go to Snopes. you can get very creative with grilled cheese. Try it, Pete.
The meatless dishes during Lent. We didn't have sushi back in the day. How easy is that? Or how about a salmon? How come my mother never made salmon for the family?
Because salmon wasn't popular. It was
you're right.
The Gorton's fish sticks.
Oh, yep, fish sticks.
Or Mrs. Paul's, I guess.
Mm-hmm. You're
right.
It
was the same old stuff on Friday.
Cheese pizza.
Yeah. Somebody said cut up a habanero pepper, put it in the grilled cheese. Or put a slice of tomato and a thin slice of onion on the grilled cheese. How can you not like a grilled cheese? A grilled cheese is...
I like it, but it's not my go-to. I'd rather have some meat. I'm a protein guy.
Grilled cheese is protein.
Hmm.
Grilled cheese and sliced tomatoes and ham.
I like it. But I'm still not going to make it for dinner. Guys,
well, if
not
that's
happening.
All you have in the house, you sorry, Richie Rich, you know, you
frozen
always have
pizza
something to
is
go
$3.
To.
$3.
Sometimes
yeah.
We don't have a frozen pizza sitting around. Joe, what do you want to talk about?
I was just saying that I don't know who invented it, but I've had tomato soup with my grilled cheese sandwich since I was a little boy, and I'm 62.
You do the dip with the grilled cheese and the tomato soup.
I don't know when it started, but when I was a little boy, I used to get it all the time. And we always put ham in our grilled cheese sandwiches.
Okay, I like that. Right.
Always, and it's very good.
Do you dip the sandwich in the tomato soup?
No, I put the...
I ask because that's a thing. People dip the grilled cheese in the tomato soup.
I don't do
that. I don't particularly like wet bread, so I wouldn't do that anyway.
Yeah, that makes your bread soggy.
People do it all the time. You should see Wendy's face like right now. She's like, what are you talking about? I didn't invent it.
I know, me either, but it sure tastes good.
All right. Well, thank you very much for calling. We appreciate
You're
that,
welcome.
Joe. Have a great one. Might have an answer for you. According to Quora.com, why is grilled cheese paired with tomato soup? Post-World War II institutional food service, including school cafeterias, always paired grilled cheese with tomato soup to provide the required vitamin C component. It was also economical and easy. But why tomato? Why not chicken noodle in a grilled cheese?
I don't know. Maybe it's cheap during the war, you said?
Yeah, that's what they say. Post-World War II institutional food service. So it began... on schools, someone has added it was a consistent school lunch on Fridays when I was a kid. The Catholic kids couldn't have meat, so it was standard. It's a good combination. I like it now, but I hated it as a child. I often went hungry
that?
On Friday because
right.
We were told what to eat.
Exactly. 708 area code. My in-laws eat grilled cheese with grape jelly on it. It's better than it sounds. My father used to put grape jelly on toast and eat it with eggs. Something about grape jelly and the older generation, they loved it.
Yeah, but not with an egg. I could see it on toast.
Did it all the time. Yeah.
And I was going to suggest, and I think it's true, that it was just an advertising campaign in the 50s. Remember all the Campbell's soup, tomato soup commercials and print? They'd always have a grilled cheese going with, I think Campbell's was the one who told us to start having it.
Well, it's worked. Yeah, definitely.
I guess. All right. I hate when I do this because now I have a taste for a grilled cheese. And
I know.
Tomato
I want
soup.
One right now.
Hi, Dana. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
This is for Pete and maybe for you, Wendy, as well. I love fixing macaroni and cheese, and I'd always double the recipe, two boxes. I add two cans of tuna and a bag of frozen peas, and it's delicious. I usually get two or three meals out of it. Pete mentioned that he likes the tuna, and
I would do that.
You, don't have
you
to
would,
add any,
yes,
you even with the peas.
You don't have to add any cheese to it at all. It's Kraft macaroni cheese or whatever brand you prefer.
Okay.
And I always double it, and then two cans of tuna. Drain the tuna, and then usually about a half a package of frozen peas.
Why do peas get such a bad rap?
I hate peas.
I
peas
love
are
peas.
Stupid.
I don't know. I don't know.
Peas and corn. Why is that?
I don't know. I love peas.
I do too.
And they have no taste and they're mushy. They're pretty to look at.
No, they're not. And no, I think they're delicious.
Dana, thanks for self-editing. I appreciate that.
You're very much. Thank you for taking my call.
All right. Have a good one. Yeah, they got no flavor, Pete.
Do you eat mushrooms?
Yeah, I like mushrooms.
It's the same thing.
No, they taste like a mushroom.
Peas are fine.
They taste like nothing. They just taste green.
It's a vegetable. It's a color. You
Starch.
Want a color on your plate, I'll
yeah.
take it.
I don't know about that.
I love that. Now I want grilled cheese, and I want the tuna and the whole deal. I'm going meatless tonight.
Yeah, I don't think either of us had lunch today, so sorry for the programming, because now everybody's going to want to go home and have a grilled cheese. But Cheesies, you know of Cheesies, Kevin? I had never heard of that before.
Love Cheesies. It's great.
It's just a place that makes grilled cheese?
It's a restaurant bar, different varieties of grilled cheese, different soups or dipping sauces to pair it with. It's the best. I love it.
You dip your grilled cheese in the tomato soup?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
I think I'm going to get a part-time job. I make the best grilled cheeses in the world.
Nope, my dad
Why
does.
Is it so good?
It's just a perfect... When I was younger, I my dad used to make me grilled cheeses all the time. He was not home. I asked my brother to do it. He said, no, do it yourself. So cute little Wendy, first time I turned the stove on and I buttered the bread... And then I put cheese on it, and I wondered why it wasn't working on the outside. It wasn't browning, but I had the butter on the inside of the bread. So then that was my first mistake.
Yeah.
And I thought, I think I have it now. So I put the butter on the outside of the bread, and I just you put a lid on it, low heat, so it's just golden brown and completely melted.
How much cheese? More than one slice?
Yeah. It depends. Munster cheese makes a really good grilled cheese sandwich. Sourdough bread makes a really good, crusty.
This is a little tip for you. Next time, use mayo instead of butter. It browns up even better.
Oh, look at that.
Really?
He's one up in you here.
Oh, yeah.
But doesn't it taste mayonnaise-y?
Nope. Browns and crispy, delicious. It's the best.
God, I know what I'm making for the college championship tonight. Tuna casserole and grilled
cheese.
What
college championship?
The big game tonight for
the
national championship.
What sport?
Alabama-Clemson football.
Oh.
NCAA.
Yes, I'm following that.
That's tonight. That's a big game.
Oh.
Got to get home. I
Who are you going for?
I want Clemson to win just because Alabama's won too many.
Where's Clemson from?
Down south somewhere.
All right.
I'm just tired of Nick Saban. Like everybody else.
This is all like foreign language to me. I don't watch anything college.
That's tonight. Big game.
All right. Well, good luck.
Grilled cheese and tuna casserole, everybody.
There you go. You know a lot of people are going to go home and make it now.
I know they are. I'm going to.
Pete, you are suggestible by yourself. You suggested something for yourself. That's
good. I did, didn't I?
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, and thank you for sitting in. I know it was a quick little visit, but I forgot you're on the roster here at WGN. So next time Bill takes a break, please come back.
Love it. You're fun.
You're cute.
This is nice.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll say hi to Ro and Anna. How does that sound? It's 720 WGN.